All right, I've got 6 o'clock, so I'd like to call to order the February 2nd, 2021 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Ms. Ancona, could I please have a roll call vote? And if I can have all of the commissioners unmute themselves for that.
Commissioner Bergsma?
Here.
Commissioner Henderson?
Here.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Here.
Commissioner Hong?
Here.
Commissioner Posey?
Here.
Commissioner Sturman?
Here.
And Chair Gamble?
Here.
Let the record show we have a quorum.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Ancona. If the commissioners could now mute your microphones, and then I will say the Pledge of Allegiance, and you can follow along. But if we need to have your microphones turned off for that, or there's too much feedback. All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. So I'd like to welcome everyone. And I appreciate all of the people that have joined our meeting. It looks like we've got 37 attendees in addition to all of our panelists. So that is very exciting that we have so much community attendance. I always really appreciate when the community comes out. Things look a little bit different this go around. We have switched from Zoom, I don't think, website app onto a webinar format. So the controls and functions are a little bit different. Our panelist members have control over their microphone and their camera, but all of the attendees' cameras and microphones will be turned off for the meeting. And during points in our meeting, when I ask for public comment, there is a raise your hand function that is at the bottom, kind of middle of your screen, and the icon is just a hand that looks like this. So if you can click that at the appropriate time, that will alert me that you would like to make a comment, and I will get to get through all of them in the order that the hand was raised. Zoom automatically orders them kind of first come, first serve. If you are calling in on a phone and would like to make a comment, to raise your hand that way, you will need to press the *9 on your keypad, and that will notify us that there is a comment. And with that, I would like to do our call to the audience, and I would before I do that, just to let everybody know that if you could state your name, where you, if you're an Oro Valley resident or not, and keep in mind that we have a 3-minute timer. So during this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda item, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss matters raised during the call to the audience. So if you wish to address the commission on a matter that is not listed on today's agenda, please notify me now by clicking the raise hand icon or pressing the *9 button on your phone. And I am not seeing any hands raised from our attendees. I'll give you, I do see one. Mr. Spaeth, can you please unmute Wayne Olander? Olander, I don't know if I said your last name right. And Wayne, you might be muted on your end. I'm seeing that you're coming up muted. Wayne, I think in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen, there is a mute icon. And I think you may have yourself muted. Are they muted on our end, Mr. Space?
Well, Chair Gamble, no. We have allowed him to speak okay. on our end.
Mr. Oldenburg, you'll need to unmute yourself to be able to speak. Oh, you unmuted for a second, and then it flashed back on.
I raised my hand by mistake. I'm sorry.
Oh, you raised your hand by mistake?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Sorry. No problems. All right. So I don't see any other hands, so I am going to close the call to the audience. I would also like to introduce council members that we have in attendance. I know we have Vice Mayor Barrett here with us. And I'm just looking, we've got Mayor Winfield, hello. And I think that's all that I'm seeing on my list. I apologize if I am forgetting anyone or missing their name. We're so happy that you joined our meeting. And at this point, I would actually like to turn the time over to Vice Mayor Barrett for the council liaison comments. Vice Mayor Barrett?
Yes, hi, thank you. It's good to see you all tonight. I don't really have very much of an update other than that tomorrow night we are hearing the Silverhawk Block 5 property again as it's been reconsidered by Councilmember Jones Ivy. And that's the only planning related thing we have immediately pending. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. All right. With that, we will get to our agenda. Ms. Ancona, will you please read out the first agenda item?
Review and approval of the January 5th, 2021 regular session meeting minutes.
All right, could I get a motion for that? Vice Chair Harrington.
Make a motion that we approve the minutes as stated.
Second.
Thank you. And then if all the commissioners could unmute their microphones, Ms. Ancona, could we please get a roll call vote?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Henderson?
I was not in attendance, so I think it's appropriate to abstain.
Okay.
Mr. Henderson, you don't have to abstain. Anybody can vote on the minutes. This is your attorney, Joe Andrews.
I abstain.
Okay. Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 5-6-0 with one abstaining.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Ancona. Will you please read out our second agenda item?
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding three items related to the proposed annexation and future development of the Westward Look Resort property located at the northwest and northeast corners of Ina Road and Westward Look Road, extending north to the existing Town of Oro Valley southern boundary. Item A, translational zoning for the entire property from Pima County CR1 large lot residential to Town of Oro Valley R1-36, our large lot residential, as required by Arizona Revised Statutes 9-471.L upon annexation of the subject property 2003182. Item B, general plan amendment from low density residential 1 to neighborhood commercial office for two parcels, 225-50021A and 225-50180, encompassing approximately 4.84 acres, located near the northwest corner of the Ina Road and Westward Look Drive intersection, 2002360. And item C, rezoning from R1-36, large lot residential, translational zoning to planned area development, PAD, for the entire property, 2002361.
All right, thank you, Ms. Ancona. That was a mouthful. All right, I would like to turn the time over to Mr. Spaeth for the town's presentation.
Yes, thank you, Chair Gamble and Ms. Ancona. That was a mouthful. I appreciate that. Let's see if we can get this going here. Everybody see that okay? Okay. So good evening, Chair Gamble, commissioners, and members of the public. My name is Michael Spaeth, and I am the current planning principal planner for the town of Oro Valley and tonight's town's project manager for this case. Our purpose for this item is to consider several development-related applications associated with the proposed annexation of the Westward Look Resort property located near the Ina Road and Westward Look Drive intersection. I'd like to briefly provide some background on the annexation. The town has an annexation strategy recently adopted by town council, which provides direction regarding future annexations. The strategy identifies a number of potential annexation areas neighboring the town, categorized from highest priority to lowest. The Westward Look Resort property is a priority one property, the highest priority. The resort represents an opportunity for the town to build upon key goals and policies expressed by Oro Valley residents in the Your Voice, Our Future general plan. As such, the town has proactively approached the resort to discuss potential annexation. The town initiated this contact as it has mutual benefit for not only the town, but the property owner as well, including things like increased services and enhanced marketing. If Westward Look agrees with the proposed annexation, the request will proceed to a public hearing before town council for consideration. Town council has the sole authority to weigh the merits of the proposed annexation, while the Planning and Zoning Commission's role is to review the development-related applications before you this evening. All four applications, including the annexation, will be presented to town council at one public hearing. Tonight is the second of two required public hearings for the proposed planned area development. With that in mind, the three items for the commission's consideration tonight include item A, the translational zoning for the entire property from Pima County CR1 to Town R136 zoning as required by state law following annexation. Item B, a type 2 general plan amendment for the portion of the property near the northwest corner of the Ina Road and Westward Look Drive intersection. This request is to change the land use designation from low density residential 1 to neighborhood commercial office to enable item C. Item C is a rezoning from translational zoning R136 to planned area development or PAD for the entire property. In my presentation, I'm going to address the questions and concerns raised by the commission during the first public hearing and briefly summarize some new information from the applicant to address neighbor concerns. I'd like to remind the commission that tonight's items are for discussion and possible action. First, I'd like to take a moment to orient everyone with respect to the subject property. The property is approximately 75 acres in size, located east of the Oracle and Ina Road intersection and adjacent to the town's southern boundary, as shown on the image on the left, outlined in yellow. It is bounded on the south by Ina Road, extending north on both sides of Westward Look Drive, as shown on the right-hand image, again outlined in yellow. The site is surrounded by unincorporated Pima County, shown in blue, including the Westward Look Guest Ranches, Westward Look Estates, and Catalina Village on the west, and Westward Look Heights on the east. The applicant's proposal includes three revised concept plans, which were included in your packet, that depict a mix of commercial, restaurant, office, and multifamily residential uses. The concepts include a range of building sizes, heights, and setbacks. I will go through these and some of the revisions in my presentation, and the applicant is going to provide greater detail during theirs. As we move through the presentation, there are a number of key considerations regarding the applicant's requests that I want to emphasize. Those include, first, that the proposal fixes existing zoning discrepancies on the property, specifically by applying proper zoning to and preserving 100% of the open space area west of Westward Look Drive. This area is currently zoned for one home per 36,000 square feet, which is in conflict with the private deed restriction for that area, which is something the town cannot legally enforce. Zoning this area as open space will add another layer of protection for neighbors. The proposal will also apply proper zoning to the resort area, enabling the historical resort as an allowed use. The current zoning, Pima County CR1, is again for single-family residential development. It does not permit the resort. However, the resort is allowed as it predates the zoning of the property and is considered a legal, non-conforming use. The applicant's proposal changes this by applying site-specific development standards that fit what is on the ground, making it a permitted use in the PAD. The site design also provides over 30% of the entire property as open space, including 100% of the aforementioned open space area subject to the deed restriction adjacent to the Westward Look Guest Ranches. It enables future development along Ina Road, and the revised planned area development provides additional mitigation measures to help minimize impacts to neighbors, including in terms of traffic and neighborhood compatibility. Again, I will go through each of these during my presentation, but want to make sure these key considerations are clear. So the first item, item A, is the translational zoning. It is an administrative action required by state law that stipulates following annexation of an unincorporated area, the town is required to translate the existing Pima County zoning to the nearest equivalent town zoning. The translation cannot take away or grant any new rights, but simply change it to the most equivalent town zoning district. In this case, the existing zoning, Pima County CR1, is equivalent to town R136, both of which permit the same number of homes per acre and minimum property size of 36,000 square feet. As you can see on the table on the left, no new rights will be granted as part of this item. The second item is to change the general plan land use designation for the portion of the property encompassing approximately 4.8 acres located near the northwest corner of Ina Road and Westward Look Drive. The request, as shown on the screen, is only for this portion of the property, and is to change the land use designation from low density residential 1 to neighborhood commercial office. The applicant is requesting the same existing land use designation as the property immediately east, as you can see in the right hand image. The purpose of this request is to enable the proposed rezoning in item C. All general plan amendments are reviewed for conformance with the amendment review criteria. The criteria includes conformance with the vision, guiding principles, goals, and policies of the general plan, as well as mitigation of impacts to neighbors and financial, contribution to the long-term economic stability of the town. I will provide more information regarding the application's conformance with the criteria later in my presentation. Item C is a request to change the translational zoning of R136, if ultimately approved as part of item A, to planned area development, or PAD. As discussed previously, the proposed rezoning fixes a number of existing zoning discrepancies on the property and enables future development on Ida Road. The planned area development will have three distinct areas as shown on the image on the right. Those include open space shown in green, resort shown in yellow, and the resort gateway areas shown in pink. So as mentioned previously, the applicant's proposal includes three revised concept plans, which were included in your packet. I will briefly summarize the concepts and the applicant will provide additional detail during their presentation. In concept A, for Resort Gateway Area West, outlined in yellow, it depicts a mix that includes a boutique hotel slash restaurant that encompasses approximately 30,000 square feet, with building heights ranging from 28 feet or two stories for buildings within 85 feet of surrounding residential to 34 feet, two stories for buildings outside of the 85 feet. In concept A for Area East depicts an approximately 184 unit multifamily development with a mix of two and three story buildings with max building heights of 40 feet or three stories, 34 feet or two stories, and 28 feet or two stories for those within 85 feet of surrounding residential. Building heights are restricted nearest to neighboring residential, which means taller buildings will be more concentrated toward the intersection. In concept B for Resort Gateway Area West, this plan depicts an office slash retail concept encompassing approximately 35,000 square feet, again with building heights ranging from 28 feet or two stories for buildings within 85 feet of surrounding residential to 34 feet and two stories for buildings further away. In concept B for Resort Gateway Area East depicts a mixed use development with a range of commercial, restaurant, hotel, and office uses. The commercial area is conceptually about 76,000 square feet in size, and the hotel would be approximately 50,000 square feet. Again, the development includes a mix of two and three story buildings with max building heights of 40 feet for the three story buildings, 34 feet for the two story buildings, and again, 28 feet for two story buildings within 85 feet of neighboring residential. Again, concentrating the taller buildings toward the intersection. In concept C for Resort Gateway Area West, it depicts a 38 unit residential villa or townhome concept with a maximum building height of 34 feet or two stories. And again, the 28 feet two story restriction for buildings within 85 feet of surrounding residential. Lastly, in concept C for Resort Gateway Area East depicts a luxury apartment or hotel option. The apartments include approximately 250 units, while the hotel could be up to approximately 400,000 square feet with a mix of two and three story buildings, with again a max building height of 40 feet for three story buildings, 34 feet for two story buildings, and again the 28 foot two-story restriction for buildings within 85 feet of neighboring residential. Please note that staff did receive formal comments from Pima County regarding the applicant's requests on Friday. Most of the comments are housekeeping items that are standard for any rezoning proposal, and none will have a bearing on the ultimate design of these concepts before the commission tonight. With that in mind, they should not have a bearing on the commission's recommendations this evening. All three concepts incorporate a number of common elements. Those include that each concept includes a mix of commercial and residential uses. The tallest buildings are primarily located near the intersection, away from neighbors. Building height transitions are incorporated near residential along the east and west sides of the property. Enhanced buffer yards with continuous tree canopies are incorporated to help minimize impacts. Preservation of the wash and riparian areas through the site are included on all three concepts. A right turn deceleration lane shown with the orange star has been incorporated along Ida Road to help minimize traffic impacts generated by the development. The existing stables shown in the black circle are being moved further away from neighbors to again help minimize impacts. And sidewalks connecting to Ida Road have been provided throughout all three concepts. Now I want to talk about the first Planning and Zoning Commission public hearing. First, a question was raised regarding the safety and need for the ingress egress point for Resort Gateway West onto Ina Road. The access point is necessary to ensure better circulation into and within the shopping center. Having a single access point can cause unnecessary traffic congestion and conflict. The level of service provided in a traffic impact analysis is acceptable to the town engineer and does not require an additional right turn lane for this entry. Ultimately, however, a future developer will have to update the traffic impact analysis at the time of development to determine whether a right turn lane is necessary on Ina Road at that time. A question was raised regarding the economic impact of the proposed project. As you can see in the table on the screen, the annexation is projected to provide approximately $916,000 annually from the resort, between $61,000 and $562,000 annually from the resort gateway areas, depending on the ultimate build-out, whether it's Plan A, Plan B, or Plan C. Now, please note that for Concept C, the fiscal impact analysis was conducted using residential on both resort gateway areas, east and west, which is not permitted. So as such, the projected numbers for this concept will be more similar to the projection for Concept A. And lastly, between $2.1 and $3.3 million in one-time construction-related fees are anticipated as well. A concern was raised about the possibility of both resort gateway areas developing as residential. The applicant has added language to the planned area development and a note highlighted here on Concept C that strictly prohibits both sides from developing as residential. These specific requirements prevent it from happening. However, in discussions with the chair, it was determined additional detail was needed for this requirement. As such, staff developed several conditions to add clarity and revise exhibits within the PAD to reflect this additional detail. This is something the applicant is also in agreement with. During the first public hearing, a number of neighbors spoke and identified some outstanding issues and concerns. The applicant has revised the plans and provided some new information to address these remaining issues. I'm going to briefly summarize those revisions and let the applicant provide additional detail during their presentation. To address concerns about neighborhood compatibility and building heights, the applicant has revised the plans to limit buildings within 85 feet of surrounding residential to 28 feet or two stories. As you can see on the screen, during the first public hearing, this requirement was 34 feet or two stories. This limitation now applies to all resort gateway areas, where it was previously only applicable to resort gateway area east. I also want to make clear that the buildings are allowed an additional 10 feet of architectural details, things like parapet walls to hide rooftop mechanical equipment and bell towers, as enabled by code. Another effort to address neighborhood compatibility was to revise building setbacks. In Concept A, the building locations have been revised to provide a larger setback from neighbors. On the left-hand image in the first public hearing, the setback was previously 60 feet, approximately 60 feet, and has now been doubled to approximately 120 feet as shown in the right-hand image. In concept C, buildings nearest to neighbors have been moved to again increase the setback from previously 40 feet to over 130 feet. Again, both of these efforts were to reduce impacts on neighbors and provide better neighborhood compatibility. The applicant has also increased the enhanced buffer yards throughout the project to be a minimum of 20 feet. It was previously 10 feet in some places, with a continuous tree canopy and the required understory plantings. This new graphic shown on screen has been incorporated into the PAD to clearly demonstrate this requirement, with the goal again being to incorporate mitigation measures to help minimize potential impacts to neighbors. The project has had an extensive public outreach process. One informational video was created to introduce the project to neighbors and answer some preliminary questions. Following the release of that video, two neighborhood meetings were conducted online that were both well attended. Neighbors provided a number of comments and concerns that included open space preservation, neighborhood compatibility, traffic safety, light pollution, impacts to property values, and the overall economic benefit of the proposal. The applicant has revised the plans to address a number of these concerns and has continued to meet with neighbors to try and find consensus on the remaining issues. Again, the revisions discussed this evening that have been incorporated into the revised concepts were directly born out of these conversations, something the applicant will provide more detail. I did want to just quickly highlight the revised conditions, or the conditions that staff developed after discussions with the chair, to further clarify the restriction on the need for a mix of uses. These conditions are shown on the screen and seek to better clarify that requirement, and also ask the applicant to revise all graphics to reflect that requirement. Chair Gamble, I'll be happy to again put this up on the screen or on the slide for commission's benefit when necessary. So in summary, tonight we have considered three land use related applications that are key components of the associated annexation proposal. The applicant's requests remedy existing zoning discrepancies on the site, enable future development on Ina Road that incorporates mitigation measures to minimize potential impacts to neighbors, and represents an economic benefit to the larger community. All three requests are in conformance with all applicable general plan and zoning standards, and staff recommends approval of items A and B and conditional approval of item C, subject to the conditions in Exhibit A, which I just highlighted. Chair Gamble, please note three separate motions, one for each item, is required this evening. Thank you, Chair. That concludes my presentation. And as I mentioned, the applicant is here this evening with a presentation as well.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Spaeth. If you can bring up the applicant's presentation and turn on their microphone and video.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Linda Morales with the Planning Center. Thank you, Mr. Spaeth, for that excellent presentation. I can add on some additional information and some other details, and I'm happy to answer any questions. I am joined virtually tonight by Chris Laria, who is the project manager at the Planning Center on this project, as well as Andrew Stegan, who is the general manager of the Westward Look. So if there's any questions that maybe they can answer better, I may ask you to bring them in as well. But for now, I'll just go forward with this. So why are these things popping up? Okay. You guys have a bunch of emails that are popping up on the presentation.
Sorry, Chair Gamble. I will try and minimize those.
Great, thank you.
There we go.
nobody emailed me.
Jeez, everyone's emailing you tonight, right? Grief. You're very popular.
Oh, my Lord. Sorry, one second, Chair Gamble. I might stop sharing my screen to get this to go away.
It's usually me that something crazy happens, too, so I'm feeling better.
Seriously.
All right, so Mr. Spaeth, is there another way we can get up the presentation?
I will just make sure that it's ready to go.
Okay.
Sorry. I think we're good now.
All right.
Well, I can start talking while you're doing that. And there you got it. Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
All right. Beautiful. So after the last planning commission, after the study session, and Commissioner Henderson, I understand you weren't there at the last one, so I won't repeat a lot of the other stuff, but if there's anything you need clarified, please just raise your hand and I'll make sure and catch you up on anything. After that, we actually had another meeting with some of the neighbors, mostly Westward Lake Heights residents, as well as some of them on the west side. That was that next night. And we had some lively discussion in that meeting. It had some other things that came up. And between that and the comments that we've heard, you know, leading up to that and in the study session and in that meeting, we have made several revisions. So Mr. Spaeth went over them briefly, and then I thought I would go through each plan and kind of point them out in a little more detail. So this is kind of the list, laundry list. I'm not going to belabor that because I'm going to go through them each one by one, but they're in relation to, you know, the things we heard that were of concern were the heights, particularly where they abut the residential areas, the buffer yards, how we're going to buffer those from landscaping and walls and things like that. So we're going to go over those in more detail and the changes that we've done to those. There were some privacy concerns, so we've addressed balconies, some lighting concerns about light spillover, we've addressed that. We have revised concepts A and C, again, related to mostly to all these issues that I've talked about before, and increased some setbacks in areas that were of concern. And the final thing that we did do that's not particularly site plan related, but important, some of the concerns that were raised during the study session related to how the new development would fit in with the existing resort, how the quality would reflect that, how it would be appropriate to fit in with the neighborhood and the high quality of the area. So we've agreed to put someone from the neighborhood, particularly Westward Lake Heights, because that is the where we have the most neighbors that are directly adjacent to our boundary. We've offered to put someone representing that neighborhood on our design review committee. And that would be the design review committee that reviews everything, even before it goes to staff. So we would have the committee established where we would look at the architecture, we would look at the site design and make sure that it conforms with the requirements of the PAD, obviously, but also that it reflects those aesthetic standards and those quality standards that we talked about. So that that's kind of the laundry list of things. Let's go on to the next slide. So this is the site plan that we did show at our last meeting last month at the study session. We actually started this project when we started back in September at our very first meeting. We were requesting a mix of 3 and 4 stories, really trying to get a mixed use urban type of development at the entry that we felt would be supporting the resort and supporting the location on Ina, and really trying to get some density and intensity of uses there. We heard loud and clear at those meetings that that was a little too much. So we did cut that back. And when we came to you last month, we came with this is concept A of one of the three. We had on here a mix of two and three stories. The two stories were within 85 feet of the residential, existing residential areas. So the east boundary, you guys can't see my mouse, can you? I think that's all I control there. So the east boundary up against Westward Look Heights would be, all those units would be limited to two story. That two story at that time was 34 feet. Which is the same as what's allowed currently under the existing CR1 zoning in the county. So that's the neighbor zoning, our zoning, that's where we came up with that number. And then also on the west side, we also had that same height limit. And then the remainder of the property could go up to three stories at at 40 feet. So let's go on to, and again, this is our concept that on the east side is a luxury apartment complex, kind of evoking something like the Villas at San Dorado. The west side is the boutique retail. The mix of use is more Broadway Village-esque, that kind of reflects that patio dining and indoor-outdoor kind of retail, old-style mall, if you will. Let's go on to the next slide, and this is what we're presenting tonight. So as you've seen in the previous and staff's presentation, we have really tried to pull the buildings away as much as possible to increase our setbacks from our neighbors. And so the area that you see labeled as number one, that depicts this increase of setbacks. And so what we've done by moving the parking area out to the edges of the site, obviously, that would still be landscaped nicely and really buffered and still look good, but it would push the buildings to the middle of the site so that it provided more separation, which provided some of the view preservation and, more importantly, I think, to a lot of the neighbors, the privacy. And I do have a cross-section I'm going to show you that kind of shows line of sight down the road. But this, what you're seeing in the area that's depicted as number one, is about 120 feet from the east property line to the first building. So that's considerably more than what we had before. I think we were at about 60 feet before. So it's about double what we had by moving that in. The item that's labeled as number two is the similar situation that we did on the west side along Westward Look Road. And that is also, given that the neighbor directly across his pool, his backyard really looks right onto that area, looks straight up that wash and has some beautiful views. By pushing those buildings in a little bit and bringing them more to the center of the site, that limit there that allows his view to be preserved and some privacy there in his backyard. So that's on both sides of those. Now, one of the things that I do want to point out, even though we have limited the building height, I'm skipping ahead a little bit to number three, but even though we have said that the building heights would be two story within 85 feet of the boundary, we've actually proposed in this concept to also include the buildings where you see the label of number three. Those buildings, that first row, would also be limited to two-story. And that actually, we're willing to limit all of our two stories to my, Mr. Spaeth had it in his, outside the 85 feet, we could go up to 34 feet. We're willing to limit all of them to 28 feet. That's a commitment that I've made to the neighbors. So two story would be only up to 28 feet throughout the property. So the area number three, those first four buildings would be two story. The middle buildings around the pool area would be three story. The buildings along Ina Road would be three story. And then when you get over to that area over by the number two, those would be two story as well. And whoop, we switched. So in addition to preserving the privacy by pushing those buildings back and limiting those to two-story along Westford look, that also really enhances the visitor experience as they're coming up, as well as the people that live up the road. They don't have buildings right on the road now. It allows for some really high-quality, beautiful landscaping to line the side of the road as you're coming up and really enhance that visitor experience. The west side, all still the two-story. So that has not changed. That has always been two-story. The buffer yards, the area that you see labeled as number four, we have, like Mr. Spaeth said, in some areas we were planning, we were always going to have a 20-foot landscape buffer. So the TEP easement is that first area that you see in light green. That is where there are overhead power lines now and some other utilities actually underground. So we need to leave that open. However, we are proposing some landscaping, some shrubs and cactus and things like that in there that will beautify it, some ground cover so that it still is attractive, but we can't put trees underneath that power line. So we're still proposing, last month, we were proposing a 20-foot buffer before we are asking that 10 feet of that could slide into part of that TEP easement. We have since just said, you know what, we're going to do 50 feet. We're going to do 30 feet of TEP, a full 20 feet of landscape buffer. So that's what you see depicted here. And the other item that we also agreed to is that we would create what will be a continuous canopy of trees. Most of the time when you do a landscape border, you have kind of some trees and then some shrubs and then some trees, and you have sort of an ebb and flow and not always having tree canopy across the whole thing. Because the views and the private, or because of privacy was a concern, we've agreed that at maturity, obviously, that the trees would be planted so that their canopies would touch. There was some concern that we'd put two small trees and it would take a long time for those to grow up. And so at our neighborhood meeting, we committed to at least a 36 inch box tree, which is a fairly large nursery stock tree. If there's opportunities to transplant larger trees on the site into that area, we'll do that as well so that they get a head start and they grow up fairly quickly to create that full canopy. If we move on to number five, before we had a couple of smaller areas of recreation area through the complex. We've actually consolidated all that into a larger lawn area up on the north. And that actually, we ended up reducing a building. We're down a building for that, but we thought that it would be important to have a place for residents to go. And it fits in nicely up by that riparian area and across from the where the stables will be. Number six, we did agree to anywhere within that 85 feet of residential areas, we've agreed to limit lighting to bollard lighting. So no taller than 5 feet so that you don't have that light spillover. One of the things I forgot to mention in the landscape buffer is, and I'll show that in detail in a little bit too, inside on the development side, so on the west side of that buffer and that continuous canopy of trees would be a 6-foot masonry wall. And so our lighting would have to be lower than that wall. So the bollards would keep the lighting down so it's safe and attractive and aesthetically pleasing on our side, but not spill over for the neighbors to the east. And that actually would be the same situation as well on the west side, the same thing where it's within 85 feet of the boundary to a residential area. We would do that as well, the bollard lighting as well. And then the final change that we made is we did move the entrance road. We have left it open at this stage on this concept as to whether it will be gated or not gated for the apartment community. And one of the reasons that we left that open is that we have allowed, at least in that first building as you come in, some of the buildings, actually all the buildings along Ina, have opportunities for ground floor retail, commercial opportunities on that first floor. And again, that's also the reason that we want to have that ability to go three-story along that area, to have that retail on the bottom floor, if that is something that works out and we have a developer that will be able to do that. In that case, we would not do it gated. If we do it gated, though, in the area that's labeled number 7, we did have a turnaround area so that there's plenty of room for people when they come in to turn around and to have a gate there if that is desirable from that entrance. And it also brings the entrance away from the eastern boundary, away from West Redlook Heights, and creates a little more stacking area for turns into that that area. Let's go on and move. Does anyone have any questions on this one before we move on? We can also go back. It's fine. I'll keep moving. So this is concept B. This was the one that we presented, and this one probably had the fewest changes that changed on the site plan. Oops, what did we lose? We lost our... But this has the, this is more of our St. Philip's style kind of plaza on the east side, a mix of uses with the hotel, the commercial, the restaurant, and the office uses, as well as the stables and the resorts recreation area north of the Wash. On the west side is our more office kind of oriented and retail plaza, more larger buildings, but pushed toward Ina Road away from the neighbors with the parking behind it. Go on to the next slide. So these are pretty similar. A lot of these conditions apply throughout all of the different concepts. So the building heights, again, we have reduced all the two-story buildings. And again, this is throughout the site. We've agreed to reduce all the buildings to no more than 28 feet rather than the 34 feet that we had last month. And then that same buffer area, the landscape buffer yard, same thing as last time. We've increased it to a total of the 50 feet, 20 feet of landscaped area, the TEP easement, the box trees, the continuous canopy, the 6-foot wall, all the same. The parking lot lighting, again, all the same, limited to the bollards on the inside of those walls. And this is something that didn't necessarily come up in the other concept because all of our buildings were away from the eastern property line by at least 85 feet, actually about 120 feet on the previous one. But on this one, because we do have some office and mixed use buildings up at the northeast corner of the site where it's labeled 1 and 4, we did put in a condition that says that none of those buildings could have balconies facing the residential. Because those are office, they will be more oriented toward the front of toward the parking lot area. There won't be activity at the back where an apartment, you'd have doors and you'd have people coming around and coming and going and having their balconies and having their windows back there. This will be the back of an office building. So there won't be activity on the rear side of those. So they'll all be oriented to the front. So we did put that condition in about the balconies. So that is pretty much it on concept B. Let's move on to concept C. So concept C is our one that, as Mr. Spaeth was discussing, we've got the casitas, the residential casita option on the west side, as well as the option for a more of a singular building or connected buildings of luxury apartments on the east side, with an option also to have part of that or all of that become a hotel. And then again, the option for the different layout, but an optional layout for the resort and the stables on the north side of the Wash, which is a consistent theme on all of those. So this is the one that the condition applies to. We had addressed that with some wording in the PAD, but we're absolutely amenable to that condition where we will go ahead and modify C to show that we can't have all residential. That was never our intent. It kind of morphed into that through the evolution of the plans but it's really important for us to be able to have some offering of some commercial retail, something that will be usable for the resort guests and as well as people in the area. So we understand that's important to the commission. We've heard that's, you know, we know that's important to the town. So that is absolutely something we're committed to. Let's go on to the next slide, and I'll point out the differences here. So in area one, this is probably the most significant change on this concept. In speaking with the neighbors to the north and west, kind of above our site, the existing residences, there was a request that we move some of those buildings that were a little closer to those residences and shift those around. And we were able to do that. We were able to shift those that actually we didn't lose any buildings, but we were able to move them so they were back further away and not having that where anybody would be able to look down or look into the backyards or the side yards of those homes. We replaced that with some parking and some additional landscape buffers and really kind of shifted them around to the west and the south a little more. So that is that area in one that you see that's now all open space. Two, again, 28 feet, that's carried out throughout those. Three is, again, the landscape border, exactly what I talked about before, carries through exactly the same. The area depicted as four, there is a lot of vegetation in that area now. But we would look at that as a receiving area for transplanted vegetation. So we wanted to point that out, that we would transplant additional plants into that area where it's a little bare or it needs some filling in, so that increases that privacy and increases that natural transition between our higher density residential to the lower density. And again, the parking lot lighting is the same. And I think between the changes that we made to the PAD as well as the acceptance of that condition addresses the concern that we heard last time about the residential, not being able to go residential on both sides. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. So this is a little closer look at what the buffer would look like from the east. This is actually the house is Mr. Rowley's house. And so on the right-hand side, it depicts a house, a generic house, but it's generally the location of that particular home and their backyard. And then you see the property boundary. And at that property boundary, the first three homes of West Verlick Heights actually have a 5 or 6 foot wall existing along their property boundary. Once you get further north, there is no wall. It just moves on and with that, there's a little bit of an elevation change, but there's no wall. So we're showing that where the wall exists. And then you see the TEP easement, that 30 feet. You see the 20 feet of the landscape border. And then you see the location of the decorative masonry wall, the 6 foot wall on the inside of that. So that is a 50 foot buffer with the trees and the tree canopy in that. With the concept A, moving those buildings in, you see that first building, that is a two-story building. You can see the balcony that we've depicted and the approximate height of where someone would be standing on that balcony. The red line is a line of sight. So you can see by setting those back further, by putting that landscape border where we've placed it, it really blocks out the ability for people standing on that second floor or looking out their second floor windows to be able to look directly into the backyard of our neighbors. And so we're happy that we were able to rearrange things to do that so that that maintains their privacy and they don't have people looking in. We looked at different architectural features and things like that that would help. And this, the distance and the landscaping really was the answer. So that's where we came and how we came to that design solution. Let's go on to the western boundary, and I'll show you the same kind of a depiction. So this is showing from Mr. Meyer's house, from the south end of his property, of his home, through the wash, the existing wash, to the very first kind of casita residence. And so on the left-hand side is Mr. Meyer's house, and that then you see the wash that exists right next to him. The wash kind of straddles and meanders back and forth between his property and ours. And so it's quite a lot of vegetation, like I said, through that wash, and that would all be maintained as open space. We've designated that as critical riparian area. And so we've got that. We've got a minimum of a 40-foot natural enhanced buffer. So again, in those areas that need a little help and need a little extra vegetation, we will put more in there. But for the most part, there, a lot of that area is heavily vegetated already. And then we have the width obviously varies depending on where we've placed an additional buffer. But this depicts the width between that and that first home. And then you see a wall back behind that. So a 6-foot masonry wall would carry over on this concept as well. And then you see a 2-story casita. And we did that same line of sight exercise. So you can see the red line and you can see that the vegetation existing in the proposed enhanced vegetation will definitely block those views from anybody on that second story of those buildings. And let's go on to the next slide. We did update our visual simulations based on the new layout, and we chose this for concept A because that one was the one that originally had the buildings as much closer to the existing residences. So that's kind of one of our worst case scenario kind of situations. So we modeled it on that. You can see the top left shows you the location of where we took the photos and the existing conditions taken from the backyard of one of the West Verlick Heights residences. I believe this is the Bakken residence. We just did like a massing study and showing how on the right-hand side, the smaller picture on the upper right shows the wall, the vegetation, and the buildings behind there. And those are the 2-story buildings. At the 28 feet behind that with parapet on top. And then you can show how we drop that into the photo. So you can see that would be the view. Yes, you can still see buildings, but again, those buildings are screened by vegetation, or they're screened and provide that privacy with the continuous canopy. Go ahead to the next. And this is the western side. So we did the same thing from there, looking from the back of Mr. Meyer's house and looking into the site. As you can see, the existing conditions are, you know, desert right now. The architecture, we laid the massing in there and laid it into the photo. And there's a considerable distance there between the casitas that are proposed. You can see that existing vegetation and the wash that is in between his home and our development. And I think that might be it. What do we have? Okay. So with that, I would be happy to answer any questions you might have, go back over any additional I do have, that last one was just some cross sections. If you'd like to see what it would look like from Ina Road frontage as well as West Verlick Drive. I didn't hear concerns about that before so much, but I just threw that in there so you could kind of see that we will have landscape borders, we'll have sidewalks, we'll have screen walls, we'll work in water harvesting, and kind of gives you an idea what you'll see vegetation and buffer wise from both of those locations. So again, with that, I'd be happy to go back in and add any additional detail. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have for me.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Morales. I am going to turn the time over now to the commission to ask any questions that they may have. So if you have a question, please use the raise your hand feature. And we'll get you in that order. And then I see one of the attendants already has their hand up. We will get to that in the public hearing portion of our discussion after the commission has discussed it. All right, so I've got Commissioner Bergsma, if you can unmute.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. Question for the applicant. The illustrative photos you just showed, showing the buildings in the background, Did those buildings include possible screening walls for roof mounted equipment? So in other words, the extra 10 feet that would be above the 28 feet or so.
Oh, Ms. Morales, you need to unmute.
Sorry about that. I just realized I was muted. Commissioner Bergsma, I believe, and I'm going to ask my graphic person if that is right at... Okay, he said yes. Let me meet. Parapet. Sorry. I want to make sure I tell you the right answer. So it is at the 28 feet, and there is a parapet to hide the mechanical, and actually that's code requirement to do that, so we absolutely would. Okay, so it was set at a total of 32 feet, so additional 28 plus 4 feet of parapet. Typically when you only need that extra 10 feet is when you have the pitched roof, or you have like a vertical, like an elevator shaft, something like that, where it sticks up. So yeah, we did the additional 4 feet. I thought that was right, but I just wanted to triple check that I was giving you the right answer.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, any other questions? Vice Chair Harrington, will you unmute?
Thank you, Chair Gamble. I have a question about Plan B, section 1 and 3, the office casitas specifically. Were you having the mechanical equipment in the rear of the property, or is that also on the top of the property, on the office casitas?
Commissioner Harrington, we would definitely look at having those on the roof in order to screen those with a parapet, assuming that is a flat roof, and the flat roof is typically the architectural style that I think we're going to end up going for, because it is more compatible with the existing resort. Rooftop definitely adds that screening, and it keeps it away from the neighbors, so you don't have those air conditioning units or something like that sitting at the back. So yes, that would be the plan, I would say. I don't think we have anything definitive in the plan that absolutely states that, but I would be comfortable saying that we would do that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. We'll move on to Commissioner Posey. Could you unmute yourself?
Thank you, Chair Gamble. I was just wondering, how tall is the highest building that's there established now in the resort? Do you know?
Oh, in the existing resort, Commissioner Posey? Yes, we do. And I'm glad you pointed that out, because we had originally gone in and measured that. And the highest building right now is the Starlight Ballroom. That's the building, if you're familiar with the resort, where they have the convent, okay, or the events, and it has the roof patio with the roof structure and patio structure, shade structure over it. I'm not saying that very well. That we did go ahead and increase that to 40 feet. I think we had it at 36. Mr. Vella actually went out and did a measurement to make sure that we were doing it as exactly the height that is built now. So we wanted to make sure that we weren't saying it was too low. So we did 40 feet, and that would include the elevator and the roof deck as well. So it's actually, and that building's a little tricky to measure because part of it, it depends, it sits kind of on a hill. So the western face of it is much taller than the southern face of it. So we said 40 feet. So that's about the highest building in there is approximately that, or that's what we set it at.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, that was a long answer to a short question.
No, that's good.
All right, are there any other questions from commissioners? Well, wait, I actually had two questions. So my first one is, Mr. Spaeth, my first one is for you. I know Ms. Morales mentioned in Concept A that they were moving, I think it was, you had labeled it number three, but the row of apartments that was on the west-facing side, and you're moving those into 120 feet, and you're still keeping them two-story. And my question to Mr. Spaeth is that written in the PAD, so legally that can be enforced, because technically that's past the 80-foot barrier?
Chair Gamble, that actually is new information to us as well. So now that we heard Ms. Morales throw that out, I've actually gone ahead and revised that recommended list of conditions to include that as well. So when we get to a motion for that item, that will be on there to reference as well for commissioners. So great observation. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. I just wanted to say, yeah, it wasn't clear, and we will make it clear in the PAD that was the intent. That is what I told the neighbors, and that's absolutely what we're doing. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that concession. So then my other question was regarding Concept C, and which I know Mr. Spaeth has so kindly created Exhibit A, because I had some concerns with the imaging showing residential on both sides. And then my concern was that label said only if West is developed commercial hotel. So that has me questioning, will the west or the east side be developed first, or will the luxury apartments complex go in first? Do you remember that slide? It was only if West is developed commercial hotel, then you'll develop the apartments. So does that come before that, or is it you build the luxury apartments or go back and then go back and build the commercial
Chair Gamble, I think I understand what you're asking. So the phasing of it and what happens first and what comes next is a bit going to be, we're dependent on the market and what happens and you know, who comes in and is ready to build first. So I can't really say definitively that one would come before the other. I can say that that Mr. Stegan and the owner, Dr. K, have expressed the interest of developing them all together. So I think that would be the best case scenario, that we would develop everything kind of all at once. And the concept would be, you know, in the mixing and matching of things, if it does go the apartments or it does go residential on the east, then we'd go ahead and in conjunction with that design and develop the west side for the commercial or the retail or the office and or mixed use to make sure that we have that component. If we end up going with the casitas on the west side, then that's when we need to make sure that we have our retail office non-residential uses at least on part, if not all, of the east side. So maybe that's like the east side of Concept B. So we've left that flexibility in because, like I said in our study session, we don't have, this development of these plans was all precipitated by the annexation. So this wasn't like we had decided that we were going to develop the property for this right now. We're looking to the future. We're looking to, you know, what we could grow into as we come into the town, but we can't definitively tell you this is what we're building because we're not ready to build that at this point. So that's the flexibility. And I think between the condition and the policy that we put in about the, you know, no more than 20% of the site or basically 15 acres could be residential, it satisfies those concerns and our concerns too, that the whole thing just doesn't go as residential.
Okay, because my concern is in this current market and in Oro Valley, obviously that's going to be the easiest option C the luxury apartment, massive luxury apartment condo is going to be the most lucrative deal for the owner. And I feel like that's not really what the community wants. Of course, that's going to be the fastest way he makes his money, no doubt. Everybody wants to develop luxury apartments in Oro Valley. As you know, we get,
as I know, yeah,
we get that a lot. And so my question is there any flexibility where if you are doing that, the commercial side gets developed along with it?
I absolutely understand your concerns that maybe the other side would just sit there forever and not develop. I can tell you that's not from day one when the ownership came and talked to us about their ideas and their concepts and what they want to do that would really enhance the resort. It was a discussion about that we want that retail, we want those restaurants, we want those things that really will enhance the visitor experience at Westward Look. So it's a critical component to them. And, you know, I think that there's certainly an opportunity maybe when we do our development plan to come in and just do a development plan for both sides at the same time. I'm just talking out loud here. But yeah, I understand the concern. I'm not as worried about this one going that way because that's not the vision of the owner and not their intent. They do really want to develop this as mixed use.
All right. Well,
I don't know if Mr. Stegan would want to come in Mr. Stegan, do you want to add anything to that as part of the ownership? I don't have him in as a presenter, but okay. The downside of this board. Oh, there he is. Yeah, there he is.
No, I think, you know, Linda, you encapsulated, I think, perfectly. It's our intention of doing everything at once. And, you know, the smaller lot, I mean, it's only 4 or 5 acres. It probably wouldn't make sense just to leave that one empty. I mean, if we're going to develop the whole area, it's not a large parcel in general. So you know, it's our intention to do it all at once.
Okay. Well, if it is your intention to do it all at once, would you mind if I added another amendment requiring that it is done at the same time? I guess as this is my second year as chair and my third year on the commission, I've become a little bit cynical.
Chair Gamble, can I, this is Mike, can I chime in from just the planning side of things? So
that'd be great.
I certainly get where your intention is coming from there, Chair Gamble. So, you know, the challenge is that trying to tie phasing to things that are truly results of the market, right, can be a slippery slope. It can sometimes, I don't know if the right word is overburden a particular property owner with certain expectations that just aren't realistic, and it's not going to get built anyway. So I would just caution, I guess, not to say that you can't go down that road, just that it's, you know, it's a careful path to walk is all. Because we've seen other projects where they had, you know, some kind of, not arbitrary, but they just had certain numbers applied to them and it was completely not tied to market realities. And, you know, it didn't turn out, you know, the way everybody anticipated. So slippery slope.
Right. And that's just my concern with this, that it will just be a massive luxury apartment complex. And that's all Oro Valley will be getting from it.
Well, Chair Gamble, while I absolutely understand the concern, I think that would be detrimental to the project, and that sometimes you need to get something going like the residential to generate the income and to generate the ability to do something that is going to be a pretty expensive build on the commercial side of things. And yes, it is more the low hanging fruit to do some of the residential. But you know, short of coming back with the safeguards that, between the condition that we've added tonight or that we are adding and the provisions in the pad for limiting the residential, it would take us coming back to this body, take us coming back to the council and asking for a total redo, which I don't see, because I've heard from this body, I've heard from, you know, meetings with the council members that they don't want to see this go all residential. So I think you're pretty safeguarded that we wouldn't be able to come back and successfully, at least, you know, under this commission and council, to change that back to residential. And it just wouldn't be the vision of our project. So I would ask you to not tie them exactly to develop at the same time from economic realities and to trust that we will go through with the vision that we're outlining tonight eventually to build it out.
All right, I definitely understand the concept of rooftops supporting commercial.
Yeah.
I love the commercial.
I love it too.
The little boutique, you know, shopping experience and restaurants, you know, I'm all for that. And that's my only reason for bringing that up. So, all right. Are there any other commissioners that have questions? I don't see any, so I am going to turn the time over to our public hearing and open that up to the public. So if there's any members from the public that would like to be heard, if you can click on the raise your hand icon in the bottom middle of your screen or click on the or press star 9 if you're on your phone. And I'm just going to switch to my attendance list. And the first person I see is Anne Segal. Mr. Spaeth, will you please unmute her? Would you like your video on?
That'd be fine, yes. That'd be, I don't mind that. I don't have a pretty halo over my head like the rest of you do.
The Oro Valley glow.
The Oro Valley will glow there. I don't see myself on the screen. I'm not sure if that's there yet. I guess you can hear me though.
Is that, yes.
If that's.
I don't know if you. Yep. So if you can state your name and okay. Where you live in relation to the property too would also be helpful for us.
Pardon me? I'm sorry. I missed what you just said.
Oh, if you can state your name and where you are located in regards to the property. Okay. So we know where. You know, what you're most specifically concerned about, what area, that would be super helpful.
Okay, sure, Will. My name is Ann Segal, and I actually live in a farther west from, I live west of, I live east of Westward Look, and in the area near Campbell and Skyline. I'll get to my moment. What's interesting to me in this description and attending these hearings is that the area that Westward Look has carved out to me looks like a boot. And it looks like a boot that is going to kick out, the town of Oro Valley is going to kick out people who live around Westward Look and eliminate them and prohibit them from being part of either Oro Valley, which is what they should be part of, or being just retained in, the whole area should be retained in Pima County. I'm part of a grassroots group, not a big group, that is looking at organizing the town of Catalina Foothills. And in our work in organizing the town of Catalina Foothills, we learned that the most important thing that happens within the creation of these communities, such as Oro Valley, pardon my pet in the back, such as Oro Valley, Marana, and Tucson, is revenue stream. This project is 100% to create hotel taxes, building permits, and revenue streams for the town of Oro Valley. By this boot and kicking out the people who live all around Oro Valley, you're saying, oh, you know what? You're just in our distant suburbs and too bad for you. When your roads go bad, oh, you have to go to the county. I know that you're right next to the town of Oro Valley, but you don't get any Oro Valley services. And you don't get any Oro Valley protection. You don't get Oro Valley police. You don't get Oro Valley fire. You don't get anything. But we get the revenue stream from Westward Look. We get the revenue stream from buildings. We get the revenue income from the development. And I'm saying to you as county commissioners, please either square it off, make it a town, bring in Oro Valley. I'm keeping track of my time. I've got 23 seconds. Make it a town, make it part of Oro Valley, or leave it alone. Just walk off and let us become part, because our part of our plan in becoming town of Catalina was to have Westward Look be part of our community. But what you've created here is just a peninsula island to suck out the energy and beauty of the last pretty street in Tucson, which is Ina Road. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Segal. I appreciate your comment. The next person on my list is Mr. Bob Hagen. Would you like your video on, and if you can unmute yourself?
Oh, you can leave the, you can either turn it on or off. It doesn't really make any difference to me.
All right.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, my name is Bob Hagen. I'm a longtime resident of Westward Look Heights at 7311 North Sonia Way. And my backyard is adjacent to the property Westward Look Resort plans to commercially develop. I appreciate this opportunity to share my concerns and the concerns I have received from the more than 40 neighbors I have reached out to for comment. And for starters, the planned development is not only deemed out of character and inconsistent with our neighborhood, but the 100-year history of the resort itself. And I would like to emphasize that the building heights, setbacks, and densities as we understand them to be, as of the information that was given to us on January 22nd, are still a major concern to us. Now, if something has changed rather significantly since the information we got from January 22nd, that could change my comments some, but I'm going to proceed with my comments anyway. We believe the resort not only can, but should do more to better address the concerns that we have. And by doing so, we believe that the resort would also help alleviate quite a few of the other concerns that we have, such as privacy, views, traffic, crime, desert wildlife protection, and the list goes on and on and on. If our concerns are not properly addressed, in all likelihood, it will result in an unfriendly and, if not hostile, relationship being created between the resort and us as neighbors. And such a relationship is just not deemed to be in the best interest of anybody, to be perfectly honest with you. Therefore, we respectfully request that, and more like strongly urge, that you do not approve the planned resort development as it is now envisioned. And any favorable consideration of this request that you could provide us would be much appreciated. Our ultimate goal is not to stop the resort development from going forward, but it is to have it happen in a way that's successful for Westward Look, but also that is friendly, neighborhood friendly, and acceptable to us. So again, I appreciate any help you could provide to honor this request. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Mr. Hagen. Up next, I've got Jean Gladke. I'm sorry. But if you can unmute, would you like your video on?
Sure, that's okay.
Right. Now you might have to turn it on too.
I'm sorry?
You may have to turn your video on as well.
Oh, okay. Okay, there we go.
Okay.
I second everything that Bob said. Zoom can't detect my camera, so I'll keep talking. My concern, in addition to everything that Bob's mentioned, really is the desert. I want to speak to the Sonoran Desert. You all know that there's no place in the world like the Sonoran Desert. When I look at your plans, I see parking lots, buildings, lights, noise, congestion, and the destruction of some of the last remaining open spaces of the Sonoran Desert. I'm very saddened by that. I'm concerned about that. And I haven't seen, you know, anything about, you're talking about landscaping, but I don't see what's happening with the native plants that we have. I drove by today, I counted at least 14 saguaros in the area. And I'm sorry, I should have said, I live on Westward Look, on Vista Oeste, which is just north of the west side, which would be your Westgate property. So I look down at Ina Road, and I look to the east, to Westward Look. But I'm very concerned about the fauna, the flora, the wildlife corridors, the birds, which are very much a part of the quality of life that we all have here. So one question is, what's happening to the saguaros? I have a second question and comment about the plans. You know, you've presented three plans to us. They're all very different. It makes it confusing to know what we're really dealing with. So one of my questions about the plans is, are you going to definitely do an A, B, or C, or are you going to combine and mix and match something that's different than A, B, and C? That's a question. And my last question is really about the hotel. I've asked this before, but why build another hotel? I just don't get that at all. It seems like that's competition with Westward Look, and I don't understand why you'd want to put another hotel on the property. Okay, I think my time's up. Thank you.
Great, thank you so much. The next person who I see is Renee Guafari. Oh, I'm so sorry, I am terrible with names.
Yeah, you're fine. It's Renee Guifaro.
Okay. Sorry, I'm Canadian. No worries. I always say the G.
So I live in Westward Look Heights. I purchased my house just almost exactly 2 years ago. I love this neighborhood, and I chose this for the neighborhood and the area. I have great concern for the proposed developments. The dramatic difference from my neighborhood, which is extremely low density, to a very high density, compact development that will not only bring extra people to our neighborhood, it will negatively impact the house, the value of my house, which has been shown in research that was peer reviewed by, I looked it up, Song Cap did it. Closer you are to a high density development, the lower your property value. So that will negatively impact it. In addition to the increase in crime, which has been shown, the increase of noise, and the general area unease of having towering apartment buildings looking over my house and neighborhood, I looked up the Oro Valley Parks and Recreation Master Plan, specifically at the survey results in an area they were looking at the facilities most important to households, to people who live in Oro Valley. The top three items that household value were trails, multi-use trails, natural service, and conservation areas. I have to agree with the citizens of Oro Valley, but here we are trying to be reasonable to an owner investor who wants to pave over the identified important areas to Oro Valley residents so that the town of Oro Valley can increase its revenue. But I regress. I found that plan updates to Westward Look unreasonable. One or two stories is what we've asked, and a much larger setback, which was consistent to what they have. I'm asking for the town not to approve these plans as they are, as they negative impact the surrounding neighborhoods and dramatically increase the population of a small, low-density, quiet neighborhood, which I purchased my house for these reasons. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. The next person I have on my list is Ben Velasco, or Burn Velasco. I'm so sorry.
No problem. Hi. So I own a property in Westward Look Heights that directly abuts the Westward Look. I'm to the east, the resort's to the west, about four houses north of Ina. And I'm glad to see that in some of the plans, the heights have been reduced. The initial massing photographs that we saw, the proposed apartments look dominating, and the massing photos I see now are better. But I notice those are only corrected for A and C. And when I look at plan B, I see two-story buildings that are closer than the plans for A and C, and there's two of them directly behind my house. And the proximity makes me think that, you know, it should be one story if it's going to be that close, or we need bigger setbacks before two stories, or stepped increases from one to two stories if they're going to be within 50, 80, 420 feet. So still concerned about the possibility of having our entire view shed blocked by those two-story buildings in plan B. Again, appreciate the changes that have been made, but would like to see a little more consistency across the plans. Thank you.
All right, thank you. We will move on to Janet.
I'm in. I
are in.
I'm grateful. I want to go back to sort of the very basic concept of neighborhood commercial. And the thing that bothers me the most about each of those plans is the hotel. And in the Oro Valley zoning code, it says that neighborhood commercial should provide basic goods and services that meet the needs of nearby residents. And honestly, I am hard put to figure out how a three-story hotel is going to meet the needs of actually anybody. We've got hotels within half a mile of that location. So, but it certainly doesn't meet the needs of nearby residents. So my second question is it possible for the Zoning Commission to approve the rezoning, but at the same time deny certain uses? And I gather from the conversation tonight that might be a possibility through an amendment. The concern I have is the hotel. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Janet. I'm going to move on to our next hand, Matt Bailey.
Hi, Chair Gamble and Commission. Can you hear me? I don't seem to be showing up on the computer. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you very well.
Okay, I'll move forward. Thank you. My name is Matt Bailey, as you've announced. I am an attorney with the law firm of Roosing, Lopez & Lazzardi, and we represent a neighbor in the area named Elizabeth Dudley, who lives at 221 East Vista Oeste Drive, which is in Westward Look Estates. On behalf of Mrs. Dudley, I want to thank you for this opportunity and the continued opportunity that we've had to speak in these public forums. You may recall I've spoken a few times at these events, and in particular, I do want to share Mrs. Dudley's passion for the protection of the 23-acre parcel that's currently being slated as open space. Previously, we have requested that the town requires a condition of its rezoning consideration to obligate the applicant to record a covenant that would run with the land and protect that 23-acre parcel. I would like to acknowledge that the town has devoted a lot of attention to the 23-acre parcel, and in particular protecting that through what is now the result of, if the proposal goes through, to rezone as open space. I also would like to acknowledge Joe Andrews' attention to this matter from the legal department. I think he's done an outstanding job, and again, I don't know that the town has decided on this yet, but I am understanding that the town is not going to move forward in the direction that Mrs. Dudley had requested, but is instead going to protect the property through open space zoning. Mrs. Dudley did want me to also extend her desire that the town listen to the very thoughtful comments that are coming out tonight regarding the neighborhood compatibility issues that Mr. Spaeth had identified. These are as important to them as the open spaces to Mrs. Dudley, and so we ask that you give that due attention as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bailey. Next on my list is Stephanie Garcia. If we can unmute her.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Garcia. I live at 7350 North Sony Way. And I'm a longtime resident of the Westward Look Heights community. My husband and I have lived here since 2009. We bought this property because of the neighborhood, because of low density, because all of the homes were on almost an acre going from here all the way to, well, they might be a little bit less than an acre heading out to Oracle and Ina, but they're all single family residential. And I'm highly concerned about the neighborhood being next to a very high density building. I was driving up Oral Valley yesterday with my family. We were going to enjoy the state park up there, and Oral Valley all along the main road has just become apartment buildings all the way up, and it's not beautiful anymore. It used to be gorgeous. I've lived in Tucson my whole life, and I'm very concerned about the exact same thing happening right next to us. Commercial seems a little bit more palatable. People will leave in the evenings, you know, they will come to work, they will leave, it will have restaurants, it will have little boutiques, but more apartments, not only for the safety of the neighborhood, and just the amount of people that will be coming and going, it's not consistent with the existing landscape and the existing buildings. And I can't find it, but months ago, I read through the general plan of Oral Valley, and one of the sections said that future development had to take into account existing residential neighborhoods and that it should seamlessly transition between the two. And this proposal is not a seamless transition. It is a jarring change of our lifestyle. And we bought into our neighborhood with the idea of a long-term investment, and our home values will drop because of this. And there are already whisperings in the neighborhood of people with young children like my own talking about, if this plan goes through, moving. And these people that are talking about moving, we're planning on making this their forever home, because this is a forever, forever home neighborhood. So I hope that the council takes these words to heart, because it doesn't fit with your general plan, which is safety, natural beauty, family friendly, parks and recreation, complete community, cultural resources, water resources, clean environment. Those are all things that are listed on your general plan. And I'm not seeing that in this concept, especially of the large luxury apartment buildings. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Garcia. We'll move on to our next question. John Richardson, if you can unmute your microphone, would you like your video on?
Sure, that'd be fine.
All right, you might have to turn it on your end as well.
Okay.
There we go.
Hi, thanks. My name is John Richardson. I live at 7002 North Monte Catena, which is just on the other side of Ina Road. My backyard is, you know, kind of looks up into what this development will be. And I have a couple of concerns that I'd like to mention, primarily about Concept C. One of the advantages of a PAD is, you know, you tie things down. But let's go to concept C and think that, let's say that it just is economically very advantageous to build the 38 units of housing that you get in concept C. And I applaud the changes that have been made to move some of those units in concept C a little farther from the north property line. My concern is, what is the rest of the development? We know that it might be a hotel. It can't all be apartments, because that would violate the condition. But what I can't pin down is, beyond those two extremes, all hotel is okay, all apartments aren't. What's in between? Because the comment, you know, the statement that the presentations to you are, well, we can't have all of that residential. And I don't think Concept C is ready without a really definitive determination of how much both sides could end up being residential and be acceptable, even if there was some little thing. And is it only a hotel, or is it anything else? And I think that's a problem. With respect to Concept C, you know, 38 units is a lot of units, and that's going to be very tempting to just say, you know, let's get those things rolling. They moved a lot of them away from the property side on the north. If they moved two more units and had 36 units, it still has to be very desirable compared to the CR1 or the R, you know, zoning, that one per 36,000 acres it would have been. And it would give the sufficient buffer that, you know, they removed, of the four units on that side, they removed three of them. My request is that you consider removing the fourth one and the other closest one on the east side. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Richardson. Next up, I've got Susan Bradley.
Hi, good evening. My name is Susan Bradley, and my husband and I are at the property on East 201 Vista Westy, which is next to Mrs. Dudley's property. So we're back onto the south side of the open space that's west of the resort. Our family has owned that property since 1994, so we've seen several changes of ownership at Westward Look, and we've also been through several expansions of the property, which were well designed, and they fit in with the residential character of the neighborhood, and they really didn't unduly impact the rest of what we think of as our desert surroundings. But this proposed change is different. The purpose of a good zoning plan is to make sure that the uses of the land in any neighborhood are compatible with each other. You don't want to put a goat farm into a residential area. And you don't want a multi-family, multi-story set of buildings plunked down like an island into a low-density, single-family set of residences. So I was really disappointed to see that this new proposal for expansion of the resort has an equestrian center that they've moved up next to the resort itself, and it's right across the street from our intersection on Vista Westy. It also proposes three-story apartment buildings in the middle of a stretch of uninterrupted single-family homes on both sides of Ina. Even the east side of Oracle, which is highly developed at the Ina intersection, doesn't have three-story buildings on either side of Ina. Multifamily housing on the east side of Ina is so rare, I can't even think of where the closest apartment buildings are. The resort points to St. Philip's Plaza as an example of the kind of development that it wants to build. While it might be similar architecturally, it's not geographically. St. Philip's Plaza is bounded on one side by the river, on two sides by two major highways, and on the last side by another set of high-rise apartment buildings. And we all know what the traffic is like on northbound Campbell at rush hour and how it backs up over the river and sometimes even past the Agricultural Extension Center. East Ina Road, by the according to the traffic studies that you did, is currently at 87% of capacity. And I simply can't believe that putting in this larger development is not going to put Ina over capacity at several times during the day. Even now, rush hour westbound at the traffic backs up regularly through the intersection at West Woodlook Drive and sometimes all the way to First. While the developer has made some good concessions by increasing the setbacks, the resort needs to do more, especially by eliminating three-story buildings and being more proactive to reduce the traffic input. Thank you for your consideration.
Great, thank you. Next up, I've got John Rowley. Rowley?
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, my question is going to be regarding the understanding is we see three concepts. And those three concepts have different proposals. I should say is I live on one of the six houses along the west border of West Woodlook. And I appreciate the adjustments that were made that shows the 120 feet and the line of sight if somebody's on a second story. But my question though is I see different concepts that don't carry that same adjustment. So when the pad is accepted today, and then a year later when the master plan is it going to be one of those three choices or are they going to take a mix? Because what I'm afraid of is that today they're showing us the 120 feet across the parking lot and all the changes. But then when a year comes, they're going to do a mix and all of a sudden, well, actually in plan B, we had it this way. And so I don't know, is the master plan in the end can be a mix or can we ask the council to do an amendment where whatever they propose as that buffer to maintain all concepts and the pad so that when the master plan comes in, at least we said, okay, we saw it in the concepts and we'll agree to that. And that would be implemented. Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you. The next hand I see up is Tucson.
Yeah, hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I just had actually a couple of questions. I don't know if you can answer questions. But
we will after the public hearing. I've got a list going.
Okay, cool. Just housekeeping. I was just wondering where the video from the last meeting was. I saw the September 15th YouTube and another one there, but I just didn't see the one from January 5th. If you guys can point me to that. The next thing was just a question for the general manager. I was just curious, the road, you know, after you leave Ina, Westward Look Road, I've heard it's owned by the county, but then I've also heard that that's owned by the resort. So I was just wondering who owns that. And then number two for the general manager, when were they planning to repave that? I remember there was talk about some construction that's being done. And then after that time, they would be repaving it. I was just wondering when that would be done. I assume it's going to be relatively soon, not when these developments go up. And then finally, I was just going to mention, you know, I think some of the comments other people have made about, you know, what it's like, because I was born in Tucson myself, what it's like to drive up Oroca Road towards Catalina State Park and see nothing but apartments. I mean, I had to do a double check on like, where am I one time, just because there's been so much development. I'm used to be completely open space on your way up there. So I sympathize with things that everybody are saying about how this does not fit in, it's intrusive development and the like. And I would just encourage the town of Oro Valley, some of these things that we're talking about, you know, you guys were saying, how can we push them to do it a certain way? And then the architect replied, you know, why don't you guys just like codify it? Like, I don't know, via contract or via deed restriction. I mean, why can't these things that people are so concerned about just be like set and codified? You know, it seems like, you know, if it was me, I would be like, just, you know, shut it down or just keep it boutiques shops. But if people really don't want apartments, if they really don't want hotels, I mean, you're getting your revenue from the hotel and the resort itself. Why can't you do what the people want? So that would be my final question. And that one is to the Planning and Zoning Commission. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Are there any other comments from the public? I just want to let you know, this will be the last chance for the public to speak. Once I close the public hearing, you guys will not have an opportunity to speak after that. So if you have questions and comments, please raise your hand. And I see I've got another one that's popped up. So can we please unmute Dinos LR? How do you pronounce your last name? I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Sekeller.
Sekeller, okay.
Yes. Good evening, Chairman Gamble and commissioners and staff. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in favor of this project. I live at 7251 Northwestward Look Drive, family home built in 1961. It's the only property that abuts both Gateway projects. I just have the highest respect for Oro Valley and Westward Look, and I think the planners for the town and the Planning Center have done an outstanding job to respond to concerns and issues, particularly on my property. I'm the guy who's got the pool that backs up to West Drive, and I think that you know, they've continued to respond to concerns of mine. And you know, probably the main reason I speak to this in favor is that under the current Pima County zoning, there would be far greater impact to our adjacent properties as opposed to going through Oro Valley's design process and their careful consideration of planning. With the exception of the west portion, the west gate, that does require, you know, an up on the rezoning, but I think that the idea of mixed use is something that is sustainable, something that a lot of people would love to have in their neighborhood. And so I just want to thank you for your time and again, support this project.
All right. Thank you very much. Was there anyone else who wanted to ask a question or let us know their thoughts and opinions, make a comment? Mary Jo, could we unmute you? And then I think you'll need, there we go. Hi.
Okay. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so my husband and I bought a home here in 2019. We actually are the set of homes furthest west, or east, I'm sorry, from Westward Look Resort. So we're on North Avenida de Lisa. And this is my first meeting. I've been getting a lot of information from our neighbors. And first of all, I want to say thank you to all of the neighbors who have been participating. I agree with all of the comments that were made here this evening. My husband and I are also concerned about noise pollution, air pollution, the displacement of wildlife, increased crime, increased traffic. One of the reasons that we purchased our home in this neighborhood, and one of our questions was, can they develop the land? On our privacy, my home isn't near Westward Look Resort. I'm here because I want to support and be an advocate for my neighbors who I haven't met, who I don't know, but who I feel are greatly impacted by the possibility of a hotel, by apartments being built. These are the same conversations that residents near the Hilton El Conquistador were having. They were also told there would be retail to go along with all of the apartments that were resurrected there. They were told they were high-end. I can tell you, I visited a client at one of those high-end apartments. Someone backed into my new car and wasn't even kind enough to leave a note, and there were no security cameras to capture it on camera. So, again, I'm just here because I want to support all of the comments that were made this evening in regards to the development that's going to happen near Westward Look, because I really feel that it doesn't keep with the integrity of the homes here, the landscape, the privacy. It's all about perception. You can say, well, we're only building high and we're putting all these trees up, but if the person living in that home looks up, they're going to feel as if there are eyes looking down on them, whether they're in their backyard or in their home. And for those people, my heart goes out to them. So I hope that you'll really take consideration in regards to all of the comments by everyone here tonight, because I think they were very eloquently made and valid concerns.
All right, thank you. I really do appreciate all of the public comments as well. And I know a lot of the neighbors don't live in the Oro Valley boundary, but I know myself, and I probably can speak for the whole commission, as we consider you all neighbors, and you know, we all want to find the best possible outcome for this piece of land. So I've got one more person who just raised their hand. Desiree, could we unmute her? And then if anybody else wants to get a question or comment in, please raise your hand now as well.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I just want to start off and thank all of you guys for your time. I know these are probably volunteer positions, and I know it's late, and I appreciate your time, so I just want to say that. I live at 7330 North Sonia Way, and I just want to echo what all of my neighbors have been saying, and specifically with regards to just losing the natural beauty of Tucson. I think it's something that we all need to consider. I have small children, and if we just keep continuing to build apartments and destroying the natural beauty of Oro Valley, is just gorgeous. And if we just keep concreting over everything, before we know it, Tucson's going to be like a phoenix. And I have young children, and I'm keeping them in my mind and in my heart, and I want them to see this natural beauty. And I just hope when you guys vote that is kind of in your heart, that you're just thinking about Tucson and about our future, and not just, unfortunately, kind of sounds like money over, you know, everything else that's so important. We don't have any parks around us. And so I'm thinking about my children. I want them to enjoy beauty and nature and wildlife. And it's just really important to me. So I hope that you think about that when you vote. And again, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I've got one more hand. Chris Egan, we can unmute him.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
So part of this land is up for a type 2 general plan amendment. That's taking it from basically one house per acre straight to commercial. That is a very serious general plan change. The rest of it is already neighborhood. It's already planned for neighborhood commercial. So I don't know if it's good to lump these two pieces together in one vote. I think that Westward Look can accomplish their goals without this major serious type 2 general plan amendment for the 4.6 acres to the west of Westward Look Drive. Thanks.
All right, thank you. I'm gonna give a final call out to the public for comments. I'm not seeing any hands. All right, and with that, I am going to close the public hearing and turn the time back over to the commissioners so we can discuss it, and if we can get Ms. Morales and Mr. Spaeth up to answer questions. I know Ms. Morales was also keeping a list of questions to answer. So, okay. All right, so Ms. Morales, let's have you go first. Do you want to go through your list? And I'll make sure I've got a list too, so we'll make sure we try to get everything answered.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. Yes, if I forgot anything, please just jump in. But I'll just kind of start from the top of in the order that I heard these things. There was a comment talking about this annexation kind of creating a finger or a peninsula as you know, breaching into the area that I believe that was referenced as a potential incorporation. I think it was Casa Sido was an incorporation attempt back in the 90s, which failed. But this area is actually, it's already in the general plan. It's been anticipated to be part of Oro Valley for many years. This is not the first time that Westward Look has been discussing annexation with the town. It's the first time we've gotten to this point. Jumping ahead, there was a question at the last speaker talking about, you know, why are these being kind of lumped together? They really are, if you will, a package kind of deal. When we come into the town, part of the agreement to annex is that we need to get our zoning for getting the resort into conformance, because it's existing legal non-conforming in the county, to plan for our future development, plan for the growth of the resort, plan for the continued evolution of the resort, to protect that open space. That's absolutely part of it. And the type 2 general plan is a very small piece. It's only a little over 4 acres of the site. It's all been contiguous Westward Look ownership. It's you know, again, part of the overall development, part of the overall plan. So that's why we're doing all these together. And I believe the town has openly talked about annexing areas. I know there's been attempts with the Tohono O'Toole Park and the whole corner intersection of Oracle and Ina. So this is one step of that. And I know the town would welcome residents to be part of the town as well, if that's something that they're interested in. I've had a couple people ask, can I join in on this annexation? And like, absolutely. Contact the town, and the town would be very happy, I think, to bring in additional properties where it's legal to do that, contiguous with the existing town. That's certainly something that we have, talked about for many years, at various times, and we're excited to be moving forward with this proposal to become part of the town of Oro Valley. There was a question about the saguaros and the vegetation on the site. Part of our application and in the PAD is a significant resource inventory or SRI study that where we went and inventory the significant vegetation on the site, and that is in there. There are some saguaros. Those saguaros will be everywhere we can where they're viable, they're healthy enough, and they're able to be moved. We're going to transplant those and use them on the site if they can't be preserved in place. If for some reason that they're not able to be moved or mitigated, they'll have to be mitigated at various percentages per the native plant ordinance of the town. So all those will be preserved and moved where we can. And like I said before, try to use those on site, use those in the landscaping so that we do have mature transplants and mature landscaping along the washes, along the borders of the site. There were a couple of speakers that asked about why hotel. And I think I covered this in quite a bit of detail at the last meeting, but perhaps they weren't on that last call. It does seem a little strange at first if you think about a hotel, asking for an additional hotel. But the reason for that is that right now the resort has events, well, not right now, pre and post pandemic, they host all kinds of events. They host conferences, they host weddings, they host tennis tournaments at their new renovated tennis facility. And a lot of times they do have overflow. And right now they're sending that overflow to other resorts. They're sending them up to El Conquistador. They're sending them to La Paloma. They're sending them to Ventana or wherever to house those additional guests that they can't accommodate on site. Having a hotel on property would be incredibly helpful to support those events. And events are the lifeblood of a resort. The stays that they have of the visitors and the individuals they're staying are a portion of the business, but their lion's share of their revenue over the years comes from these larger events and these conferences and things. So obviously, it's hard times right now, but as soon as people are back and traveling and doing these kind of conferences, that extra overflow will be needed and it'll be really complimentary. It also, the type of hotel that we're talking about would attract a different type of traveler, not necessarily the people that are going to stay longer term or there as part of a conference. Maybe it's somebody that's coming just to, do business for a night or two. So it's a different model of person that they're of a traveler that they would be able to accommodate with another hotel on the property. And they really feel like a sister property would be very advantageous. And I'm sure Mr. Stegan can talk more at length if y'all want to hear any more about that. But that's, what I've learned through working with the hotel. Several people talked about the trails and the wildlife in the area. And again, I didn't emphasize it as much as I did in the first presentation about the 23 acres of open space on the west side of Westward Look, directly across from the resort. But absolutely, that area, we have acknowledged that was agreed to be open space back many, many years ago in the 70s. That will stay as open space. There's a significant wash that runs through part of it, and there's some beautiful vegetation that we are committed to preserving long term. And we put that on record in the study session. I'll put it on record again. There is no intent to ever come back and develop that area. Right now, there's trail rides and the horses will go through there. The visitors there's a lot of walking trails and paths that really are an asset to the resort. And we want to keep that. And we're going to continue to use that only for passive recreation. The wildlife, too. Again, your major wildlife corridor is that tributary, the Casas de Devis Wash, that runs through there. Through that open space site. There's also a smaller wash that you've seen in the concepts that runs through the back of the Resort Gateway West and through Resort Gateway East. And that we have designated critical resource area and are leaving that as open space. And that will continue to be a wildlife corridor, continue to be a vegetative corridor and an asset to the community. And people use that to walk now. If we've spent quite a bit of time on site, and you'll see people come down in the evenings, they'll go walk their dogs or run them around some of the grassy areas and open space. That'll still be open. That corridor will still be there and it'll still be available for people to walk up and down. And the trails, even though the trails going past our site are actually all on private property, there aren't any public easements going on up. I think everybody's kind of accepting of that, the people in the area will use those trails and continue to, and we don't want to prevent that in the future with this development either. There was a question about, I'm trying to read my own writing, building heights and the transitions. And I that was something that absolutely so the three concepts, let me go back to the other question about mixing and matching. It has always been our intent, and we've tried to communicate this, that we really see the three different concepts, the Resort West and the Resort East, as an ability to mix and match. With that acknowledgement that we can't do all residential over the whole thing, but concept A, we take the commercial retail center, and that becomes our west side. But maybe instead of the apartments that we show on Concept 8, maybe it's something that's more of an office use and or the different apartment type of layout. So absolutely, we see it as a mix and match. That said, the concepts that we're showing are really important. And I know that Mr. Spaeth can talk to this a bit about if we come back and try to show him and Mr. Vella something that's completely different, that doesn't keep with those concepts, they're going to be like, try again. That is something that really is important to the town, that people, for what they see is what they get. And yes, they're concepts. Yes, they're going to be maybe tweaked a little bit, but important things like buffers, important things like building setbacks, those are things and standards that they will hold us to as we move forward in the future. There was a question about... I think this was for Andrew, but I think I can answer it without having to add him in right now, although he may want to make some other comments about the road, about Westward Look. It is actually a privately owned street right now. It is owned by Westward Look, even though the townhomes to the north actually use that. That's their access into their subdivision. They were part of the original Westward Look property, and that was developed and sold off. A lot of this, I think even Westward Look Heights at one point was part of the historic ranch. So as the years have gone by and things have sold off, Westward Look stayed under private ownership. So that is controlled by the resort. Yes, it is in bad shape. It's been patched here and there. And the reason for that and why it hasn't been fully renovated yet is that the resort's going through a major, major renovation and is actually really getting close to wrapping that up. It didn't make a lot of sense to go ahead and with all kinds of construction vehicles and heavy equipment and things going up there to do the renovation to go ahead and overhaul the road right now. But as soon as all that heavy work is done and the renovation is complete, then that road will be repaved. Chair Gamble, did I forget anything else you had on your list?
I think that was everything. You touched on kind of picking and choosing, like the mix of choices. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was everything that I had for you. Mr. Spaeth, if you could address, someone had asked about the video from last meeting.
Yes, thank you, Chair Gamble. So the video is on the website. It's actually on the meetings and agendas page. What you can do is go to the Planning and Zoning Commission link on that page, and the agenda for that meeting, the draft minutes for that meeting, and the video and audio for that meeting are all available on that website.
All right, that one. And then how does a neighbor go about annexing into Oro Valley?
Sure. So that process is, Chair Gamble, that process is run through the town manager's office. Of course, there are some state mandated requirements in terms of where your properties are located, and a number of other things that the town obviously has to make sure the annexation area is in compliance with. But I would recommend them to reach out to the town manager's office and then go through that avenue.
All right, I think that was most of the questions. So do we have, I'd like to get a discussion going with the commissioners on how they're feeling about these three motions. So if you guys have any questions or comments, I'd like to hear from you guys now. Commissioner Bergsma, if you can unmute.
Yes, I believe there was one other comment or question from Mr. Egan, the last person that spoke about the type 2 general plan amendment. And he was concerned that we were sort of lumping all three of these applications into one. We're not. We're going to have separate actions on each of those, correct?
Yes.
So we will have separate discussions of each of those items on the agenda. Although based on what you just said, It sounds like you're open to this, talking about all three at this point. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's all I had to say for this, for the time being. I'll let others proceed.
All right. Commissioner Sturman, will you unmute?
Oh, thank you, Chairman Gamble. I have a question regarding of the three items. Which item really covers the concepts that we are looking at this time? Is it C, B, or A?
It's C.
C, okay. The other question I had is, you know, we were talking about the shifting of once the Westward Look Hotel system is filled. Well, then the reason why you're going to build another hotel in the front area of Ina is because we ran out of space. Is there a concept where that they're talking about maybe of just adding on to the existing Westward Look and utilizing the land that they have there? That's my question.
Ms. Morales?
Thank you, Chair Gamble and Commissioner Sturman. The resort really is pretty much built out the existing resort area. The remaining area that appears to be open space when you look at it from the aerial is generally slopes. The resort actually sits up considerably higher than the Westward Look Heights property to the east, and then it kind of slopes down further to the townhomes, and that slopes down then back up to the townhomes on the west. So there's a lot of topography, and there's not a lot of ability to add much. The newest part of that that's been developed was the ballroom. And that was done, I don't know, still several years ago. And that was about the only opportunity left for expanding the hotel proper. Did that get to your question, Commissioner Sturman?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Chair Gamble, if I could ask, I know the owner, the general manager of the resort has wanted to answer a couple of questions related to our conversation too, if that's okay with you.
Oh, sure. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I don't know if he had.
Oh, Andrew,
to add to this. Is he there?
Hello?
Yeah. I'm here.
There we go.
Sorry. I think Linda's answered some of the questions, and she's right about the expansion. We really don't have any place to expand if we were to build an addition to the hotel at this point, so we'd have to go south onto that land. So, any other questions at this point?
I'm not sure, but if you just want to mute, we can keep you there in case we do. Commissioner Posey, will you unmute now? I've got your hand raised.
Yes, thank you, Chair Gamble. I'd like to thank the neighbors, first of all. They had some thoughtful concerns and compelling points. But I do believe that a lot of it has been addressed from the last meeting. From the last hearing, in building height restrictions, improved privacy, larger buffer yards, lights that are 5 foot. And so there's been quite a bit that they're working to do more like you would like. And also, I just want to point out that future employment, I was just writing some down, you know, job opportunities would come up there in like hotels, restaurants, shopping, administration. And that it, you know, it kind of has a snowball effect. And then, you know, neighbors, I know if you have, well, the neighbors themselves, or if you have children or if you have grandchildren, you know, they can be close by to take, you know, to look at these job opportunities. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Commissioner Posey. Commissioner Bergsma, will you unmute?
Well, concept C seems to be one where there's still a little bit of confusion, and we've been talking about conditions of approval relating to that concept. So that concept has, on the northwest corner of the intersection, does have residential development shown. And on the northeast, it has either a large apartment complex or a hotel. Now, you couldn't do the apartments on both corners based on the understanding we have. So if you're going to just take that one by itself without mixing and matching the concepts, it looks like the northeast corner would have to be a hotel, correct? And that would comply with the understanding we have that at least a portion of that area would have to be commercial or something like that. Is that correct?
Ms. Morales?
Sorry, unmuting. Commissioner Bergsma, yes, we would have to have either, there could be two different alternatives of the mixing and matching. If we did the casitas on the west that were purely residential, that are purely residential, we could choose the hotel option, or we could choose concept B, which is a mixed use that is primarily residential, or I mean, non-residential uses. It's got the office, it's got the retail, and it's got the hotel. The limit that we put on was no more than 20%, which is about 15 acres and 75 acres could go residential. So theoretically, if we did the 4.5 acres on the west as residential, we'd still have some residential. We could even mix in to that mixed use concept and kind of play around with B again in keeping with the concepts, so we're not steering too far away from that. But if we wanted to integrate a little bit of residential in with the retail and the office, that the development standards would still allow some of that. But yeah, again, that mix and match, and I, you know, in hindsight, I should have, we should have probably just adjusted C. It evolved into purely residential along the way at one point, and then we went back.
What I have is that when we're talking about mixing and matching, and we're talking about, you know, melding one into the other, then we're losing certainty about what we're going to end up with. And, you know, it gets a little more mushy about what actually is being proposed. And that's, I guess we have to take a look at conditions of approval to sort of tie this up. And unfortunately, my concern at this point is that the conditions of approval have just started appearing in the last day or so. And other than maybe Chair Gamble, none of us have seen any of this stuff until tonight. I had a question yesterday of staff about conditions of approval since there was nothing listed on the staff report. And the response was, well, we don't have any. And now we do. At least we have something that's been being discussed. And so I'm a little confused about where we're going in terms of conditions of approval. And I think we need to have more discussion about that.
Chair Gamble, if you don't mind, can I go ahead and pull that graphic up and walk everybody through?
I was just going to ask you to.
And yes, sorry about that, Commissioner Bergsma. When I responded to your email, we didn't have any conditions at that point. So now we do. So here's, obviously, as I mentioned during my presentation, this was born out of a conversation with the chair and vice chair regarding exactly what you're talking about. Commissioner Bergsma is trying to nail down some uncertainty about what the non-residential component looks like as it relates to concept C. And so essentially what we've done here in number one is add the last two sentences to an existing statement in the code, and or the PAD, excuse me. And so the PAD currently reads, all uses permitted under the CN Neighborhood Commercial District of the Oro Valley Zoning Code shall be allowed within the resort gateway, except as modified by the following sections. the resort gateway areas are not permitted to be fully built out with only residential development. So that's where the sentence in the existing PAD stops. And so we're adding the additional language that it should instead be a mix of residential and non-residential uses, and that residential only uses cannot comprise more than the 20% or approximately 15 acres of the entire PAD that Ms. Morales referenced. And that requirement is actually referenced elsewhere in the PAD document in the development standards table. So we're kind of creating a one-stop shop, if you will, for this particular requirement. So if somebody down the road comes in and doesn't realize that it's in another section, they don't have to have the potential to miss it. And then in number two, we're saying, okay, considering what we're asking for in number one, revise all of the graphics that depict Concept C to include that non-residential component, which is what Ms. Morales was kind of getting at, is that it would have probably just been simpler to put in a non-residential piece on Concept C as opposed to the residential on the west and the possible residential hotel on the east. So we're asking to revise that concept to now have a non-residential component anywhere that it is shown in the PAD document to make sure that that is clear. And then we're adding another section reference in the development standards table in number three to, again, kind of, it's kind of a circular loop to make sure that if, you know, if my future self or whoever's in my position down the road catches one but not the other, it points them back in both directions so that they're clearly aware of what this requirement is intended to achieve. And then number four, I just added on here during the public hearing to reflect the comment by Ms. Morales about limiting all two-story buildings to 28 feet. So I'm happy to answer any questions. I hope that clears it up a little bit. I apologize for the earlier confusion.
Okay, so I'm going to jump in here real quick because this is not what I meant by my comment about the two-story buildings. It was specific to, I believe, just let me go over my notes here. Concept A in the chart had moved the abutting apartments. And on Mrs. Morales's PowerPoint, it was circled around as item number three. And they had moved those from 60 feet from the building to the neighboring properties to 120 feet, which moved it outside of that 85-foot requirement, making them 2 feet. So I wanted to stipulate that those buildings that abut houses need to remain two stories. Does that make sense, Mr. Spaeth?
Okay, as opposed to Chair,
it's not all, because we've already got all two-story buildings, I think, are currently at a maximum of 28 feet. It was specifically the ones that had been moved from 60 feet to 120 feet away from the abutting properties.
Okay. I will revise this to reflect.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
That was a mouthful. But that was my intent with that so specific
only on concept A.
And was that also on concept B as well? Ms. Morales?
That was only on concept A.
Okay.
The east and the west of the block of apartments.
Okay.
Yeah. And we realized that today as we were putting our presentation together that there was no notation on that. So I apologize for overlooking that. And apparently we didn't communicate it fully to staff either, but that was what we communicated to neighbors and what we're sticking to.
All right. Thank you. Awesome. Okay. So do we have any other discussion points from commissioners? Any concerns about any of these other options, Commissioner Bergsma?
Well, another concern I have, and this is expressed by one of the speakers, is in relation to Concept B, the east side, and the two-story office buildings up in the northeast corner of that site, which are pretty darn close to the residences just to the east. And I know the idea is, well, they're not residential, they're offices, so you won't have as much activity on the east side of the building that might affect those residences. On the other hand, they're still there, there's still the massing there. That's a concern for me. I think that that's a design issue that should be looked at again. On the other hand, I mean, in terms of the applications, and we're talking about all three now, so the first one's a no-brainer. That's something we have to do. If it's going to be annexed, you got to convert to the equivalent town zoning. No big deal. The second one is, you know, we're talking about just the northwest corner of the intersection. And I guess the question I have for staff here is the northeast corner was redesignated in association with the adoption of the general plan back in 2016. I'm wondering why the northwest corner was not change to neighborhood commercial office at the same time. Can anybody go back in the past and tell me what the thinking was at that time about one corner versus the other?
Sure, Chair Gamble, Member Bergsma, if memory serves, so the northeast corner, if you will, of that intersection was already designated as neighborhood commercial in the 2005 general plan.
Okay.
And so it was carried forward into the 2016 general plan, because the approach we unequivocally took was we are not changing general plan land use designations as part of that overall general plan effort without the appropriate public participation process for those immediate neighbors. And so it would have been carried over from the prior general plan. Which is why
as far as 2005 to.
Unfortunately, I do not. Sorry about that.
Well, thanks anyway.
All right, Hal, did you have, or Commissioner Bergsma, did you have any more comments?
Not at this point. I may have comments on motions after they're made.
All right. Does anybody else have comments that they'd like to make before I ask for a motion? It doesn't look like it, so I am going to do that. And I do want to remind everyone that if we vote denial of item A, all of the other items would need to be denied as well. Is that correct, Mr. Spaeth?
Chair Gamble, that is correct.
All right. So if I could get a motion for item A. Commissioner Posey, will you please unmute?
Thank you, Chair Gamble.
Thank you.
Yes, I would like to, I move to recommend approval of the translational zoning from Pima County, CR1 to Town of Oro Valley, R136, based on a finding the request is in conformance with state law.
All right. And then Vice Chair Harrington, can I get a second?
I'll second that motion.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Ancona. Could we please get a roll call vote on that?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Henderson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, so moving on to item number B,
Could I get a motion for that? Or is there more discussion people would like to have before we make a motion on that one? I'm not seeing any. So if there's someone who would like to make a motion for item B. Commissioner Bergsma?
Yes, just before I make the motion, I wanted to say that it makes sense to me that if you're going to have commercial type uses on one corner, you should have allow them on the opposite corner of this signalized intersection. It makes sense. I mean, it's not as big a site, but it's still over 4 acres, which is pretty good sized. So I move to recommend approval of the general plan amendment from low density residential one to neighborhood commercial office based on a finding. The request is in conformance with the Your Voice, Our Future general plan.
All right. And then Commissioner Posey, will you second that?
Yes, I'll second that.
All right. Ms. Ancona, could we please do a roll call vote?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Henderson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Oh, Commissioner Hong, can you unmute yourself?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
All right. Okay, so moving on to item C, I think this was where we had the most questions and concerns over. And I'm wondering, Mr. Spaeth, would you mind pulling up Exhibit A again for us to take a quick look at?
Chair Gamble, just to be clear, I think I've changed number 4 to reflect what your intent was. Please let me know, of course, if that's not correct. But I did keep the other condition in there because there are a couple of graphics in the PAD which still show some two-story buildings at 34 feet. So just again, in keeping with what Ms. Morales had told neighbors and mentioned earlier tonight, that we will ask for a condition to limit all two-story buildings to a maximum of 28 feet with architectural allowance, right? So.
Okay, hey, Ms. Morales, I've got a quick question for you. So here we have it listed as the easternmost buildings in Concept A. Did that not also apply to the west side as well?
Chair Gamble, you read my mind, and I was just raising my hand. We did agree along Westward Look on the east side of Westward Look Drive, so the west side of Resort Gateway. We agreed with that property owner to the east or to the west of there that those would be two-story as well. Before council, we will make that graphic just abundantly clear, so it's really clear moving forward. Both east and west will be bookended by two stories, three story in the middle.
Okay, and then will you have a revised graphic for Plan C showing commercial when it goes to town council as well?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, wonderful.
Thanks.
I know those are kind of housekeeping items, so I'm not too hung up on them, but I did want to make sure that before this goes to town council that was all put together.
I appreciate that. We were moving quickly and making a lot of changes over the iterations along the way, and a few things got lost, but I appreciate your patience with us to correct those.
Well, I appreciate your willingness to correct them all.
Thank you.
Chair Gamble, can I just double check number 4? Does that look correct now? Not the greatest verbiage, of course, but, and it looks like Mr. Andrews has his hand up too. I don't know if we've...
Well, it's Gateway East and West, isn't it?
Okay.
Oh, Ms. Morales?
Ms. Morales?
It's so this condition only applies to Gateway East. Gateway West, we've already all along said that that was two stories, the whole thing. Okay. And so that's in the plan already.
28 feet for okay. condition.
Yeah. Yeah. So it really just, the condition would just apply to Resort Gateway East.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So then that looks correct. So I've got Mr. Andrews with his hand raised.
Chair Campbell, I'm just not wanting to butt in because this is so much a legal issue as it is. If all of the two stories are limited to 28 feet and two story, then it doesn't make a lot of a difference here. Because I thought that they said that the both of those were a two-story and then they're all to be 28 feet. Was that correct from the planning center that there were going to be no 34 two-story buildings? I just wanted, that was my memory.
That's not what this was. This was because they moved the setback of the building from 60 feet to 120 feet, which technically allows them to have three stories.
No. I know. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't telling the planning center now suddenly you have to squash your buildings all 4 feet without your say so, because I would hate to have us do that and then find out it's mechanically a problem or there are other issues. If we're going to limit them all to 28 feet, then so be it.
Miss,
thank you, Miss. Mr. Andrews, we're comfortable with that.
Okay.
Sorry. Thanks.
Oh, no, that's totally fine. Thank you for that. Mr. Andrews, if you don't have any other questions or comments, you can lower your hand. All right. Do I have any other commissioners with questions and discussion? Okay. Commissioner Sturman.
Yes. Thank you, Chairman Gamble. I'm really getting confused. Here, I had thought that we had just agreed that we're all going to have two stories. Now we're saying, well, we're going to have two stories on the fringe of 120, but then we're going to three stories in the middle portion of the development. I'm really confused on this. And also the Exhibit A problems would have never been passed by the individual commissioners here other than this evening. And it's hard to absorb when we go back and forth on this. And I apologize, but I'm really concerned about this.
I apologize too. I had brought up my concerns on a staff call with Mr. Bella before and Mr. Spaeth on Monday and had told them my concerns with this. And they had offered to write up this exhibit because this was a lot of conditions and to kind of marry up some of the terminology in three separate sections of the report or the PAD so they would all say the same thing. So basically, I'm sorry that this came out so late that I probably should have just taken it to Mr. Vella a week ago so we could have had this, but so I apologize for the delay on that. So that was my bad on that. I wish we could have gotten that out earlier to everyone. And then as far as the three-story, it was always intended. There was always intended to be three-story and then have it surrounded by two-story.
Okay, the other issue is now we were talking earlier about the fact that, well, now we can mix and match the concepts. I haven't seen the mix or match other than the three concepts that we've been talking about. And again, I'm concerned about that. Well, let me see the mix and match about this with these other Exhibit A stuff. Just wanted you to know that.
All right, actually, Mr. Spaeth, could you answer that? Because technically, these are site plan approvals. And so mixing and matching to me is not really something that we would be able to do after the site plan is approved.
It's sure, thank you, Chair.
The other.
Sure, is thank you, correct? Chair. Yep. Oh, man, I've got reverberation here. Sorry, I'm going to try. So thank you, Chair Gamble, Member Sturman. So when Ms. Morales, I pulled this graphic up, hopefully everybody can see it. When Ms. Morales uses the phrase mix and match, what they're talking about is, of course, there's a resort gateway west and a resort gateway east on all three concepts. And so when she's talking about mixing and matching, it might be taking this resort gateway west on concept B and switching it over here to concept C. So all of these concepts, both sides, have been evaluated for zoning compliance, zoning conformance. Mitigation measures have been built into almost all of them. But the way our code works is if three different concepts are approved as part of a rezoning, then an applicant can pick an individual element from, you know, this concept and switch it over to this one if that's what the market and supports for them and they want to bring that to us. And at that point, what staff would do is evaluate that to make sure that it's not violating any conditions of the rezoning in terms of mitigation to neighbors or agreements to neighbors, and it's having less of an impact than what was shown on these individual concepts, nothing more. So if there's a significant change to that, they would have to come back before the commission and council. And so to your question, Chair Gamble, because these are tentative development plans, there is the ability to kind of switch some of these individual gateway areas around, which is different than if you had a site plan, right, where a conceptual site plan where you're much more dialed in. I mean, these are tentative and conceptual by nature. So, Member Sturman, I hope that helps shed a little bit of light, at least, on what we mean by the phrase of mixing and matching. So there aren't going to be other things added to this that you're not seeing on this screen. If they come back and bring something else that's significantly different than any of these three, then we're gonna make them come back to commission and council and show you that and ask for your approval.
So may I just ask this?
Sure.
So when we start talking about mix and match, we're not, so say on the west corner they make a commercial and then they say, well, okay, but on the northeast corner, well, the word, we are going to go with a commercial too.
Absolutely. So, they could.
Okay, but I thought we were talking about making a blend of residential, a combination with the office, a commercial. So now we're saying, oh, by the way, you know, we can mix this up to make it all commercial. And I thought that was not the concept that we were trying to generate here on the general plan. We were talking about making a mix of residential along with commercial office.
So Chair Gamble, Member Sturman, you're right. I think ideally for the town at the end of the day, a mix of uses would be ideal. Absolutely. But all commercial, in the town's opinion, is okay too. We're comfortable with that as well. What we don't want to see is all residential. And that's what's been written in Exhibit A and in portions of the code to prohibit that from happening. So any other combination, whether it's office and retail or office, retail, hotel, commercial, hotel, or apartment, we would be fine with those as long as there's not a concept that results in 100% residential. Does that help from the town's perspective?
Okay, well, let me...
Do you have anything else to add to that? Oh, sorry, Dan. There was Commissioner Sturman. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's, you know, it's the idea here that we've been listening to all these residents surrounding them. And one of the things that I've heard is that they don't want it all commercial. And, you know, okay, you know, they'll tolerate a little bit of commercial and some residential. But now you're putting in the situation of, oh, wait, we're not going to accept all residential, but we'll take all commercial. Well, that's not the residents that's saying that. Thank you.
All right. Did you have anything to add to that, Ms. Morales?
No, I think that Mr. Spaeth explained it how I was trying to explain that. And as far as the additional condition that Chair Gamble suggested, that really, we had addressed the not all residential through the 20% provision that we put into the PAD, but I think your condition takes it a little, it clarifies it more. So that's why we, you know, we already had been down that road. We had already said all along, no, we're not going to do all residential. We do need to make sure there's a commercial component there. I think as to address the concern that we did the whole thing as commercial, I really don't see that it's viable that we would be able to do the whole thing. I would see that it should have it will have a wet residential component, even though the tax generating revenue would be greater if it was all commercial. And I heard a mix from the neighbors. I heard some people that didn't want apartments and would rather have the commercial. So it's kind of a little bit all over the board. I hope that helps clarify. Thank you. It is a situation where we are looking to the future and we need to have a little bit of flexibility built in. So this gives us some bookends, some certainty of the universe of possibilities of site plans, but gives us a little flexibility to work as we move forward in the future. Thank you.
All right. So Commissioner Henderson. Oh, if you can unmute yourself first.
Thanks, Chair Gamble. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out how to say that I'm uncomfortable with this situation in a way that kind of hitchhikes on the other commissioners' concern, Bergsma and Sturman. And from my perspective, it looks like we're being asked to approve something, but we don't know exactly what it is. And if that's the way we have to do it or want to do it or whatever, then I'm just uncertain, uncomfortable with that process. Maybe if I know more about the process, that the final concept or plan will be developed and presented later to the commission, like next month or whatever, I would feel better that we're going to get another look at this, so to speak. But right now it feels like we're being asked to approve something. We don't know exactly what we're approving. Does that make any sense at all, folks?
Chair Gamble, if I could maybe just add again. So, and obviously I didn't do a well enough job of framing how this works. And I apologize for that. So the three concepts that you see on screen are what we're getting. Now, they are tentative and they are conceptual in nature, but everything on the screen has been evaluated for zoning code compliance and conformance. It's been evaluated against the general plan goals and policies, as well as the new planned area development policies, which are even more involved than a normal rezoning. So I can tell you from staff's perspective, at least, the concepts on the screen have been evaluated for zoning conformance. And so, yes, we don't know exactly which concept it's going to be, or maybe you might take a component from concept A and plug it into concept B, but from a staff perspective, that shouldn't matter because all of them have already been vetted for zoning conformance. Now, as I've said, if they, you know, the future shifts a little bit and the future developer, whoever that happens to be, comes back and decides they want to do something that deviates from one of these approved plans, should it be approved? If that's a significant change, we as staff tell them, no, you can't do that. It's not consistent enough with what was approved as part of the rezoning. And as such, you have to go back out to neighbors. You have to go back to the commission. You have to go back to council to ask for that new change because it deviates too much from what you see on screen. Does that help some? At least in terms of how we process it on the staff side?
This is Bob Henderson again. So I think what I'm understanding is we're being asked to approve the zoning change, but not the specific PAD, if you will.
So actually it's both. So the zoning change is to PAD. And so the PAD document, you would be providing a recommendation on one way or the other. Now, these concepts that you see on screen are included in that PAD document. And ultimately, then town council will vote on whether to approve these or not. But you aren't specifically saying tonight that, you know, concept B is what it's going to be. You're voting on the PAD having all three of these concepts because the applicant has stated they don't know what's going on the property in the future. And so they want to have some of that flexibility built in. So that's the item before you at the moment. I hope that helps.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Spieth.
Indeed.
All right, did you have any other questions, Commissioner Henderson?
Not at this time. Thank you, Chairman Gamble.
All right, Commissioner Bergsma.
Well, I think we're getting close, but, you know, making up conditions of approval on the fly makes me uncomfortable. First of all, I wonder, asking Ms. Morales, representing the applicant, what would happen if this was continued to our next meeting for final decision? How would you feel about that?
Well, I would really, I feel like we're really close. I would respectfully ask if we could go ahead and move forward. I don't think that the conditions on our side, they're just clarifying things that were already in the PAD, even when you looked at it last month with that 20% and, you know, limit on residential and the concept of being able to kind of, I hate to keep using the word mix and match, but, you know, take kind of treating West and East as independent site plans almost. And maybe in hindsight, we should have just shown those as totally separate, but they do need to work together in a way. But I would respectfully ask if we could, you know, move forward because this annexation is an important thing to the town, I know. And we've gone through a lot. We've done a lot of meetings. We've done a lot of changes. We worked really, really hard over the last month to address neighborhood concerns as much as we could and still maintain the viability and the integrity of the proposal that we're moving forward. And we're really excited about it.
So. Okay. Chair Gamble, if I could add maybe too, right, just to reiterate the point, Commissioner Bergsma, that the three conditions that we drafted up at the chair's request are really simply to clarify requirements that are already in the PAD. So they are things that are already in there. It's just we collectively felt that they needed to be sharpened a little bit more to be even more clear. So functionally, they're just housekeeping. Nothing's actually changing. It's just making that requirement more clear. And then, of course, the other two came out of conversations this evening, right? So thank you for that, Chair Gamble.
Thank you, Mr. Spieth. I would like to get a motion on this tonight. Like Mr. Spieth said, a lot of
My concerns were just with the language of things, and they were housekeeping items that were already in place. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, any future planner that saw this, you know, knew exactly what we had intended. So that was my intent with that, just to make that a little bit more clear. And then the two items that came up as we were discussing everything, I wanted to make sure that was laid out correctly and would be easy for a future planner to read and understand what we had wanted to happen. So if there's things that aren't happening that you would like to happen, can we work on those now? If any of the commissioners have other questions or amendments that they think would be appropriate to have before we vote, Commissioner Bergsma, do you have anything
to add to that? Yeah, the 20% requirement, that's 20% of the total acreage of the PAD, is that correct? It's not 20% of floor area of buildings, it's 20% of acreage, is that correct?
If I can jump in, yes, it's about 75 acres total in the PAD, so it's about 15 acres.
Okay. And in terms of the focus of this, which is the two corners of the intersection, how much acreage is that in total?
The west side is about 4.5 acres, and the east side south of the wash, I believe, is 13.5. A total of about 15, I believe.
18.
I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. I have my cheat sheet in front of me.
If 3 acres was set aside for a commercial, that would meet that requirement in terms of the two corners.
We would be able to do no more than 15 acres, so that would leave.
You said there's 18 acres.
Yeah. That's correct.
The rest could be residential.
If you're leaving out, Commissioner Bergsma, if you're leaving out the piece that's the resort recreation north of the wash, then yes.
Well, that would not get residential, so I assume that would count towards commercial as well.
Correct. It's, non-residential.
Okay. So we could get a lot of residential, not much commercial.
Except that the universe of options would only have, if we went all residential on the resort gateway east, south of the wash, then our other options include the all commercial, all office on the west.
Right.
So we don't really have one that has a half residential, half commercial on that
corner. Okay.
Yeah. So in reality, the math, yes, but in reality, with the concepts tying it back to that, we'd end up being about the 4.5 acres of commercial or non-residential. Plus the 3 up and up north.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, do we have any other commissioners that have questions or comments? Mr. Stegen, if you can unmute, if you had something to add.
I did, and thank you. Thank you for your comments. I think they're all very thoughtful. And I would just say as a general comment, please don't look at these two lots of land by themselves. Our core business is running a resort and always will be running a resort. And so anything that we, if approved, anything that we develop down there really has to fit in with the resort. The last thing we want our guests to do is drive, because that obviously Westward Look Drive is the only entrance and probably will be ever the only entrance to the resort. We don't want them to drive through something that is either all commercial, all residential. I mean, so although you know, we're trying to keep our options open because we have no idea when we could develop this. Obviously not in this climate. It's got to make economic sense. So it's probably a few years off in the very least. But please keep that in mind that if, you know, whatever we develop has to fit in with our core business, which is the resort. And so we're not going to put something down there that really doesn't, that drives people away from our resort and they go someplace else. So so please look at that. My only comment. Look at it as a whole, a resort plus some development, not some development, standalone development. Thank you.
All right. So do we have any other comments or questions from the commissioners? I'm not seeing any. So at this time, I'm going to ask for a motion for item C. Commissioner Henderson.
I'm sorry, I have a question. I'm seeing this exhibit A up on my screen. Is there any chance of going back so I can see you all beautiful people?
Yes.
Excellent. Does thank that you. Help? I'm happy now.
For me too. All right. So, is there a motion on the floor that someone's willing to make? Commissioner Herring or Vice Chair Harrington, if you can unmute.
Hey, sorry about that. After further discussion, I will move to recommend approval of zoning from R1 36 planned area development subject to conditions listed in attachment one. And also, I should guess you should say exhibit A, based on the finding requests and conformance with all equitable general planning and zoning code requirements.
All right, could I get a second for that? Okay, well, I can second that, and we'll see how it shakes out. Ms. Ancona, could you please do a roll call vote?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Oh, you need to unmute. There we go.
Yeah, I just did. Before I cast my vote, I just want to say that I don't like the process. I think we've pushed this along a bit too fast. I know it's taken a long time, but the end has been sort of messy. And there are certain aspects of the designs, especially the concept B. There's parts of that I don't like, but overall, I think it's a decent plan. So I'm going to say aye.
Okay. Commissioner Henderson?
Yes, Chair Campbell. I have some concerns like Commissioner Bergsma, but like him, I think the overall plan is good. And I think that any necessary changes that are needed will be made going forward. So I vote yes.
Vice Chair Harrington?
I'm going to vote yes. Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Commissioner Posey, you need to unmute. There we go.
Aye. Okay. Commissioner Sturman?
I vote aye, but I would like to clarify that I would hope that the Planning Center and also the Westward Look ownership would deeply look at the fact that there should be a mix of residential along with the commercial, because this is something that I think we need to listen to the residents. I vote aye.
Commissioner And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Ancona.
Thank you all.
Okay, so we will move on. I've got that done. To our Planning Division update. Mr. Spaeth?
Yes, thank you, Chair Gamble. Me again. The town will be renewing the Commissioner American Planning Association memberships for 2021. We will be adding Commissioner Henderson. So if you receive a renewal notice, please don't do anything. We're going to do that for you. Of course, hopefully you guys all find that as a good resource. Community Academy begins on Thursday. I believe last count we had about 37 people signed up. This is entirely online. We had everybody who normally leads a class shoot a video. So it's readily available for anybody who's not signed up. And if you aren't signed up, I strongly encourage you to go watch those and listen in. You never know, you might learn something. We do have two upcoming neighborhood meetings next Wednesday on February 10th. The Oro Vista Apartments down by Noble Hops on La Cañada and Lambert is having their second meeting regarding their proposed expansion. And on February 18th, we have a proposed conceptual site plan out in the Stone Canyon area on the north side of town for a new subdivision. So hopefully you've gotten invitations for those. If you haven't yet, you will be soon. And hopefully you have the time to be able to pop in and listen in. I think they're very informative. As of right now, we do not have any items scheduled for the March Planning and Zoning Commission. So stay tuned. Thank you, Chair Gamble, commissioners.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Spaeth. And thank you, commissioners. I know we all put a lot of time and effort and research into that, and I really appreciate everybody doing that. So if I can have a motion to adjourn. Can I? Meeting adjourned? Do I actually need a motion for that?
Just one.
Okay, I do need one.
Yep, you're good.
Commissioner Posey?
Well, I thought I heard one. Sorry.
Mr. Harrington made a motion.
I think Mr. Harrington, Vice Chair Harrington did, so we're good.
Okay. Have a
good evening, everybody.
All right. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.
Bye.